Blog Talk Radio.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade in downtown Dallas. The first reports say that President Kennedy has been seriously wounded by this shooting.
It is a big idea. A new world order.
It was almost as if it were a planned implosion. It just pancaked.
Either you are with us, or you are with the terrorists.
But I also believe that a lot of gun owners would agree that AK-47s belong in the hands of soldiers, not in the hands of criminals.
During the American Revolution, the active forces in the field against the king's tyranny never amounted to more than 3% of the colonists. They were in turn actively supported by perhaps 10% of the population. In addition to these revolutionaries were perhaps another 20% who favored their cause but did little to nothing to support it. Another one-third of the population sided with the king. By the end of the war, there were actually more Americans fighting for the king than there were in the field against him. And the final third, it took no side and blew with the wind and took what came. Three percenters today do not claim that we represent 3% of the American people, although we might. That theory has not yet been tested. We do claim that we represent at least 3% of American gun owners, which is still a healthy number, somewhere in the neighborhood of 3 million people. History, for good or ill, is made by determined minorities. We are one such minority. So too are the current enemies of the Founders' Republic. What remains, then, is the test of will and skill to determine who will shape the future of our nation. The 3% today are gun owners who will not disarm, will not compromise, and will no longer back up at the passage of the next Gun Control Act. 3%ers today say quite explicitly that we will not obey any further circumscription of our traditional liberties and will defend ourselves if attacked. We intend to maintain our God-given natural rights to liberty and property, and that means most especially the right to keep and bear arms. Thus, we are committed to the restoration of the Founders' Republic and are willing to fight, die, and if forced by any would-be oppressor, to kill in the defense of ourselves and the Constitution that we took an oath to uphold against enemies foreign and domestic.
Everybody, Joseph Gibson here, podcasting, restoring our republic. Quite clear that our republic is just about dead. It's quite clear with the elections, the border crisis. That's what probably we're going to be focusing on here tonight with a couple guests that we did try to line up here for tonight. They should be here and from Texas. And Nick is the first one. Nick, press 1 if you're on the phone line right now so I can see where your number is because I got a bunch of numbers on the screen right now. You got to press 1 on your phone so to be passed through. And then I can I don't know if you're calling in through a private number or Skype or what. How you're doing it. There you are. Okay, good. So I got a bunch of numbers on the screen. So tonight we're going to go into some very important topics. And this is really what our country, the backbone and what we're all about and on foundations and the birth of our country really came about is the militia. And without the militia, we're nothing. And we would not have our republic if it wasn't for the militia. So as most of the people that tune into this podcast, I'm sure, know your history, know the history. But there's also the dummies out there, the bubbleheads that, you know, try to suck on our oxygen, claiming that they know the history better than us and that the militia has no part in our country's history or our future. And these are the liberal-minded bozos, bubbleheads out there that just are really destroying the moral fabric of our everyday life, our governmental system, our republic. I mean, we can go on and on and on. I mean, maybe some of them will call in tonight. I don't know, but they come with their arguments that make no rational sense, common sense whatsoever. And I believe it has to do with evil. I mean, they're really induced by some kind of evil doctrine that just has possessed them to not see reality or truth. I just don't see how their arguments can hold any fertile ground whatsoever. I mean, last night we did a podcast show to open up this show here for tonight, and we called into a liberal-dominated podcast, and the spewing of information that they were giving off and portraying what our country is about and how our country is going to go forward is just maddening. It's sick, and they are the enemy. They are the enemy of the republic, and by no means at all should we ever tolerate this. And we have to take back our republic by whatever means necessary, hopefully lawfully. And that's what I'm promoting here on this podcast, is taking back our republic lawfully. But how far? Where do you draw the line? How far do we go? We have our country being invaded right now. It's being invaded. And we see this back-and-forth struggle between the Republican-Democrat machine, which we know the same money feeds both machines, the same corrupt institution, the Federal Reserve Banking Cartel. And they're all bought and paid for, these politicians. So where do we go? We have to turn to who? Where? Militia. That we have to. Some say the militia isn't there no more, that there is no more militia. There is no lawful militia. So I'm going to bring Nick on right now, and I'm going to let him introduce himself, talk a little bit, and let him run with the floor, and then we'll feed off of him, and then I'll bring on a couple other people and go from there like we usually do. Nick, I'm going to bring you on first. That's you, I believe. Right, Nick? How you doing?
Yes, Brigadier Joseph, and yourself?
I'm doing all right, and I'm sure you heard the intro here, so I want you to go ahead and introduce yourself.
Yes.
And just talk about what we talked about the other day.
Well, first of all, let me just say, give my appreciation for the opportunity to speak to your listeners. I know you've been doing this a while. I have my own weekly radio show, Christian Revolt, long overdue, and I've been doing that a little over 7 years now. And I don't seem to be getting anywhere. It's a call-in show,
join the club.
And I don't get too many callers. And I claim, and anybody listening who wants to call in and correct me, I'd be happy to be corrected. I claim to be the only talk radio show publicly advocating state militia to take back power. You have to be careful how you phrase things. I don't like to use the word overthrow, but the current government is illegitimate and has been for decades. People, you know, the stupid party, the grassroots in the stupid party, and the stupid party is the GOP, the Republicans. The Democrats are the evil party. The grassroots of the stupid party would claim that it's illegitimate because Trump was ousted, you know, with vote fraud in 2020. And I, you know, they, you talk about the enemy. The Republicans and the Democrats and the people who support them are the enemy, as well as the Christian Zionists. And I don't know how controversial I can get.
Say whatever you want. Say whatever you want, whatever you need to do to get your message across.
Right. Well, I just, you know, I watch my language as well. I am a Christian. I call myself a Christian constitutionalist. And even then, I don't, you know, I can support and defend the Constitution, but I'm actually an Articles of Confederation guy. And what happened, that came about after the American Revolution in 1781. And what happened is the globalists back in 1787 put their heads together and they needed to get rid of state sovereignty. And that's what they did. They deceived the people. They said, we're just going to amend and, you know, revise the articles. And they ended up throwing them out and giving us this U.S. Constitution, which, you know, you take it to its end, which is today, I guess you could say, and we see what we have. We have a centralized federal government, which is out of control. And as you said in the intro, we really only have militia, state militia, to take back power. But we don't have any official state militias. All we have are a bunch of private militias. Texas has a state guard. You know, various people in these states will claim that, yes, we have a militia. Well, the expert on this is constitutional attorney, retired, Edwin Vieira. And I always refer people to either Edwin or, and you could go on YouTube or, you know, Google search engine, whatever, and just type his name in, Edwin Vieira, V-I-E-I-R-A. He happens to be the older brother of Meredith Vieira, if people remember her from Good Morning America and Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Edwin has been, he's all over the internet. So just type in Edwin Vieira Militia. And you can, but I have links, you know, people can contact me. I send people, you know, here's how you can learn what a true state militia is in less than 2 minutes. Because this is, he wrote, he's written extensively on this topic, mostly for newswithviews.com, which is a pro-Zionist, so-called patriot conservative organization out of Oregon. But he's written extensively on militias for them. And one was called True versus False Militia and Why the Difference Matters. So I send people that. He's got an 8-part series on the militia, the several states. That's where I first learned about militia. I mean, I'm in my late 60s. And I was never taught about state militias in high school in the 70s. Yeah. And so my jaw dropped when I found out. And this is just, this was around 2010. He wrote the Militia Several States series in 2005, I believe.
Nick, let me interrupt you for a second. We never hear anybody, any of the so-called leaders of the patriot community out there that are in the mainstream talk about it either. You know, these Sean Hannitys, these Rush Limbaughs, they've never talked about it or promoted the militia or the backbone of our republic.
No.
About the militia, try teaching our listeners. Never, never.
Exactly. And that's why I call most of those people people talk about controlled opposition. Well, I came up with the term false opposition. False opposition being the ignorant, people who are ignorant that they are helping the enemy, as opposed to controlled opposition, which is a term that I guess Vladimir Lenin came up with, or at least it's attributed to him. that, you know, in order to, you know, take control of things, we need to have our own, we have to be the opposition. So controlled opposition are people who I think Rush Limbaugh, but, you know, people like Glenn Beck, who purposely do not talk about militia. They won't even have a guest to come on to talk about militia. And that's why I'm, you know, the ADL, or I guess it's the Southern Poverty Law Center. They have a list of so-called patriots who were anti-Semitic. Well, you know, I should be on that list. But I'd say the reason I'm not on the list is because I talk about militia. And the ADL and the Southern Poverty Law, the AIPAC, all of these Antichrist organizations, they don't want the people to know about state militia, because that these Antichrists, they only fear force now, because they have pretty much complete control of everything, the media, stock markets, the military, you know, obviously Congress, and so they don't fear demonstrations, petitions, calling your congressman, writing your that's what the stupid John Birch Society has promoted since 1958 when they were founded, is contact your congressman.
But they also monitor who can by chance get into public office. They target them right away,
right,
and make sure that they don't pick up any steam and get elected. I noticed that. And, you know, my name's on that list, so, you know, I don't know how you've avoided it over the years, but obviously, you know, many of the patriots that have been trying to infiltrate the corporation to restore our republic from the inside out, they've targeted and, you know, written their pieces about and had their media puppets destroy us every which way they possibly can. So, but that leads me to, because I know that got a lot of people on the line here, and but our main prop, what we really want to do is how can we, or before we do that, what's going on down in Texas with the border? I mean, I did a border report last night with Mark Fenorke. What's going on with the border situation down there? I mean, where are we going to draw the line in the sand?
Well, because we don't have state militia, we can't draw a line, really. The Border Patrol, I mean, that's just all part of the federal government. The clown that calls himself the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, who's a pro-Zionist, he's another bad Christian. You know, these people hide behind their Christianity, so-called, and that's how they keep the stupid people, as they say, voting for them. He's not doing anything. He should just tell the federal government to go to hell. I'm going to restore our state militia, which I estimate to be 6 million. And we arm them just like a regular just like the U.S. military, the National Guard. And we can shut down the border. I mean, you know, shoot to kill, basically. That'll stop them. They won't be coming.
It could be done. It could be done
but
in a matter of days, right?
He's part of the agenda.
It
so
could
they
be done.
Had. Oh, sure. But these guys,
but
these
not.
Private militia
yeah.
types who go down to the border saying they're going to defend it, you know, the Federalists, they're not going to recognize them. So they could easily take them out if necessary. And that's why I came up with my, you know, plan to restore a true state militia. And I can go more into that as we go along here tonight.
Okay. So, well, we'll go ahead. Begin with that. What's the process? What do we got to do? What do we got to let the people know to do before we start taking calls and getting other suggestions and getting the big conversation going on here, and then maybe we get off into a tangent? But what do we have to do? What do you recommend the people do? I know you're not out here to tell people what to do, because you're not, because you can't. But what do you recommend the people do, especially in Texas or people around the country? What can we do?
Well, I'll tell you what I want to do and what I think would work to bring about, hopefully, a peaceful, lawful solution to taking back power, and that's to elect me as governor, because the governor of Texas has the authority to restore the 6 million state militia. Other okay. than that, you know, and each person in each state can find somebody. And I don't even want to do this, okay? I've talked about doing this since 2013, but that's just only because nobody else is willing to do it. I mean, I know there's people out there who are more articulate than I am and can, you know, maybe persuade the people. That's why I won't do anything, run for office again. I did in 2016. I'll talk about that as well. But I'm not going to run without a campaign manager, because the campaign manager, first of all, I'm taking a risk talking yep. about taking back power using state militia. So I'm willing mm-hmm. to take the risk, but somebody who knows the ins and outs of running a campaign needs to organize it and frame it properly. I mean, it'll be a team effort. I know what needs to be done. And, you know, we'll put our heads together and we'll come up with a rock and roll campaign, very controversial, very confrontational, but it's going to be very lawful and legal so that they can't, yeah. you know, throw me in jail for, you know, advocating being labeled a domestic terrorist. And, you know, I don't want a bunch of Randy Weavers and Waco type situations. That whole Waco thing was a joke. That damn sheriff in the Austin area or Waco area, I don't know what county that was, but he had seen that David Koresh before. I mean, he should have just told the feds, get the hell out. He could have deputized yeah. every man in that county and armed them and say, feds, get the hell out of here. That's what every Texas sheriff can do, but they don't do it.
Well, why don't they? Why don't they, Nick? Why don't they? You know what I mean? What do we people have to do out there to convince the sheriffs to do that so we can start the ball rolling lawfully? Remember, everybody that's out there, and the provocateurs that are out there, we are not advocating any type of violence whatsoever. We want everything done by the books lawfully and done so with the people's will and constitutionally. So I just want to make sure that's clear for any provocateurs or naysayers out there. Go ahead, Nick.
Well, they need to visit their county sheriff and find out where does he stand. I know I live in Ector County in West Texas, and Mike Griffiths is the sheriff. I don't know if he won the primary or even if he had anybody running against him. But I already know he's not a constitutionalist, because during the COVID pandemic crap, he, when a bar owner, there was a woman bar owner who wanted to open up, this is probably a year after, you know, early 2021. She tried to open up her bar again, and he rolled in this MRAP tank or something. And just basically shut it down.
Yeah, well, then he's no good.
We
he's
don't
no good
have
he's no good. Yeah,
right. I'm not aware of any Texas sheriff who is willing to stand up to the governor to say, you know, you're a piece of
lovely.
Shit. This is against the Constitution, and it's against the Texas Constitution, and you know we're not going to obey. We had an opportunity, Scott London. Is a retired sheriff from New Mexico. I forget which county, but he moved, he retired and moved to Hood County, which is in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Uh-huh. He ran for sheriff against a four-term incumbent, and he ran as a Republican. You know, I tried to tell him you should run as a Libertarian. That way you can run all the way, you could probably run all the way till November. But he ran in the yep. Republican primary and lost. So Texas has their, sore loser law where he can't run in another party now. I don't even think it could be a write-in. But in when he was in a sheriff in New Mexico, he stood up. The IRS is going after some woman, and he basically made the IRS back down. And so when I read about this guy, I thought, I don't support Republicans, but he was the first Republican candidate that I had endorsed in over 25 years. And so, but he lost, so he's out of the running. But we need sheriffs like that. So if you can find a constitutional sheriff, then, get behind him. He needs to read up about the militia because I think most of them are ignorant about militia. You know, they just think about deputies. They don't think about militiamen. Maybe only certain people could be deputies. But militia is anyone really from 16, 17 to, 45. I mean, I'm in my late 60s. I suppose I could be a non-combatant type of militia man.
There's no age limit on the militia.
Right.
You know, you had in Colorado, you had Sheriff Stephen Reams. He was a guy that came out publicly and said, you're not going to disarm anybody in my county. I'm not going to enforce any Second Amendment laws. Who's the other guy in Michigan I interviewed? You remember the guy I interviewed? I forgot his name right off the top of my head. Oh, Lord, I forgot. We interviewed him on Blog Talk a couple of years ago and for about an hour.
I know who you're talking about, but go ahead.
I forgot.
Yeah, I don't remember his name either.
Yeah. And he said he supports us and supports the militia, and he wants to see the militia. He actually advocated for the militia to step up and rise up and take back to his county and state, and nothing. So, so we did have a few sheriffs out there that were willing to stand up, and I'm sure there's many more, but they're waiting for the people. It's the same thing, and I know this is going to be bad taste in people's mouth, but that's what Trump told me once at a rally. He said, I'm waiting for the people to stand up and rise up and do something. The people are not doing anything. What can one person do? You know? I mean, come on. So,
this clown. He's the president of the United States, and he's saying, what can one man do? What a bunch of crap. He is such a traitor. I can't stand Trump. And, he enables 70 million people to continue to support who's going to be a dictator, because I think he's going to be anointed in November. But Sheriff Darleaf, that's the guy in Michigan, I think you were talking
Darleaf,
about.
Yeah, Sheriff Darleaf. Yeah, that's right. I remember now. Sheriff, is he still a sheriff in Michigan by chance? Darleaf? I forget. I don't know.
I don't know, but there's people in Michigan that I said, here's a guy, Justin Amash. I don't know if anybody remembers that name. He was a congressman from Michigan, a conservative. Uh-huh. I've heard he's an Orthodox Christian type. He got out of the Republican Party and ended up joining the Libertarian Party. Well, and I thought he was going to run for president this year. Well, he left. He goes back, shades of Freemason Ron Paul. I think he's a Freemason. His family has ties. But anyway. Shades of Ron Paul, who ran as a Libertarian for president in 1988. He was their nominee in 88. And he ends up going back to the Republican Party. But that's what this Justin Amash does. So he's running for governor as a Republican, and they're just going to vote fraud him out in the primary. He should have stayed in the Libertarian Party and fought or go independent. That's what if I run for governor, it's going to be either as an independent or a write-in, but I have a plan my campaign manager would understand and would be able to help grow the over 80,000 votes that were cast for Libertarian-type candidates in 2016 here in the western half of Texas.
Well, this is where I'm saying is that we believe firmly, and from sources that I've gotten, is that where it's going to have to begin is in the Texas, that area, or Michigan or something. This is where the what we like to call grassroots, or the founding or the restoration of our republic is going to have to start down there, because the border issue is the issue that can is the lawful issue that we can bring to the table to say, hey, You know, they're not securing our border. We're being invaded. People are being murdered across the United States. Women are being raped. Property crimes are on the rise. It looks like a war zone in some places down at the border of Texas. So this is the issue. We have the issue on the table. We just don't have anyone sitting at the table right now to bring this forward, you know, lawfully. And again, lawfully, because we can do this lawfully because the law would be on our side here because they're not protecting our borders, you know, and this is an invasion. So, well, Nick, let me see if I got any callers out there. Anybody wants to chip into the conversation or bring information to the forefront here? Now here's your chance. 657-383-0616. Just press 1. I'll bring you on, and we'll have continue on with the conversation. Let me bring on 225, and we'll continue on with Nick here. Go ahead, 225.
Hey, this is Mike. You know, I remember back in the 90s when we were hearing about the Michigan and stuff, militia and stuff up there. Those militias up there, and they so demonized the militia at the time, the Clinton administration and people like that and the media and stuff like that. I mean, and now we're seeing the results of that because people are refusing to bring back the militia. Now, there are a couple of sheriffs like in Florida that have said that the federal government comes down there, yeah, I'm going to deputize my citizens, and there you go, you know, and do what you got to do. I'm going to deputize you. You do what you got to do, you know. So there are some sheriffs around that are acting like they're going to want to recognize a militia. Now, will some of these state governors come back and, you know, reform their state militias? Don't know.
Well,
I could tell you Ron DeSantis, another bad Christian, he's not going to because he loves the Jews. In fact, if I become governor, we're going to ship everybody who claims to be of the synagogue. We're going to ship them to Florida. Because he wants them there, so that's fine.
You know,
we'll put them on boxcars and send them to Florida.
And I think what we have to do, Nick, though, is not worry about them right now. We have to worry about protecting our border because it doesn't matter if anyone gets shipped anywhere. Because with an unsecure border and no country and no border lines, we have no country. We have an illegitimate government again. This is the key factor where everybody gets confused and everybody starts getting entangled and gridlocked with the arguments or the discussion, is how can we bring back lawfully our government and all these issues that are piled on top of our head. It seems like we're just drowning and we just can't get out of our own way. We're tripping over our own 2 feet. We can't move forward. Why? What needs to be done? I'm at a loss for words sometimes. It doesn't matter how much you can rile up the crowd and bring people together and sing We Are the World. And, you know, it just seems like we just can't get moving. We can't fix anything. It's like we've hit a brick wall. Why? I'm searching for the answers. I'm out there on this podcast searching, trying to bring people together. Why? You know, bringing on you tonight, Nick. What can we do?
So, Joe,
Go ahead. Go ahead, Mike. I'm sorry. One or the other first. One other one. Mike, you go first.
Okay,
go ahead, Mike.
What I was going to say, it's like I said when we were talking about on another show, we were talking about, you know, when Trump said drain the swamp. Well, you drain the swamp. You say drain the swamp, but first thing you got to do is pull the stopper. But, again, The swamp is so deep that even if you do pull the stopper, you can't tell that it's draining because it's that damn deep. And that's our problem with this issue. Things are so piled up on our heads that even if we want to start to, quote, you know, drain this swamp, we can pull the stopper and we can't tell that it's draining because there's so much water there, you know?
Yeah, Mike, you're in Louisiana, so you're not far from, you know, so you're next state over. So you're in Louisiana. We have everybody, I mean, we have the you know, like, again, all the people I've spoken to over the years, all the many, many patriots that are supposedly out there still. I mean, we have many, many that are in prison, kidnapped and being detained or have been murdered also. Imagine if we had those numbers back, you know. But, again, would it make a difference? Are we just so far gone in this country that, you know, I mean, I've heard people, you know, say people that are really, 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 really believe in this country and believe in the republic that, you know, that have sacrificed that are even saying now, what can we do? I mean, we just got to sit back and let the hand play. You know, let the game go, let them carry on with the game. I say no. I don't want, I can't sit back idly and watch everyone. You know, evil flourishes when good men do nothing. We can't, you know, we can't sit back and do nothing. We have to be proactive. We have to be out there articulating our message to the people and trying to wake the people up as much as possible still, even though today we say we can't wake any more up. The people that are awake, they're all, those are the ones that are going to remain awake, and the others are going to remain asleep. I don't believe that either. I believe people can turn from their wicked ways and repent and try to do the right thing. You know, I mean, there's always hope for good. There's always the battle between good and evil. You never give up the fight for good, you know. So, but I'm at a loss, though. I just don't know what else I can do, what else I can say, you know, where else we can turn to run for office. You know, I just don't know. Nick, back to you.
Well, I think the situation is too far gone for a peaceful resolution. It's possible. I mean, we can act, and that's what I'm telling people. We can act by restoring our state militias. That's the only way. As I say, these people are no longer fearing voting. They don't fear demonstrations, marches, writing your Congress. They own all this stuff. I've got a meme that I send to people. A new world order cannot be stopped by voting. Okay.
Yeah.
And so we got to get the militias back. And hopefully, you know, that will be enough that we won't have a civil war or blood in the streets. But we have a choice. We can either try to do it ourselves with God's help. That's number one. If God isn't involved, if the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is not involved, we're not going to be successful. I could tell you right that now. The other option is to do nothing and let God sort it out, and that'll be worse. If we continue to allow sodomites, faggots, perverts, transgender, all of this stuff to corrupt our children, if Christian men continue to allow that to happen, God's finally going to say enough's enough. And whether it's Russia and China, you know, earthquakes, whatever, it won't be pretty. So the option we have with God's help is to restore our militias, to take back the power that was taken away in 1903. That's when the Charles Dick Act basically suppressed all our militias. And that they had to do that before they took over the money issue in 1913. So 10 years before, they took away the power of the people to overthrow the synagogue of Satan and Freemasonry.
Yep.
And then 10 years later,
yep.
10, 3,
Hang on, Nick,
10
I got,
years later,
yep, go ahead.
They gave us the Federal Reserve Act.
We know, and that's when they took over our monetary system and they bankrupted us, you know, in 1929. You know, and then Emergency Powers Act, and it goes on and on and on. World War II, you know. But 330, you got something you want to add here? We'll bring them on. Keep dumping on the callers here. 330.
I'm listening in, Joe. It's Tave.
Oh, okay.
You know how I feel about it. I mean, it's such a bad situation because I've been saying for a long time, you know, we've been past the do it legally and lawfully and peacefully. When you have the people that are doing the things that are in position now to do what they're doing, and they continue to do it, and they're not drug out by their hair and held accountable, every single day that goes by only lets it get worse, just like this border. Either one of them. Yep. Everywhere around, it's not shut down. Why didn't the sheriff step up and do what they were supposed to do, constitutional sheriffs? We talked about this 5 years ago. And
yep.
I'm just disheartened about it. And I feel like, I mean, it sucks that I'm in a sanctuary city, so I'm getting, I see the crap. And I have a Muslim mayor, of all things. I can't even, you can't make this shit up. 32-year-old Muslim
shape.
Mayor in a sanctuary city. It's unbelievable. But
it is.
I mean,
it is. It's sad.
I mean, we can't, I don't want to go in, I don't want people to go to jail, except the ones that are the criminals that have taken things, then made the people that are Christian. You know what, you don't even have to believe in God. I don't care. You just have to have decency and morals and not mess with kids. You know, have dignity, help your neighbor, do the right thing. That's fine. You don't have to believe in God. Yeah. But once you cross that line with the kids and the way these people do this, they've infiltrated 109 countries, and it took 109 of them to run them out, banish them.
Yeah.
And I've been saying it for the last year. What, 110, make this country 110 and never again. They've got to be put, it's like a bad rabid dog. They don't stop. God himself in the Bible sent Joshua's army after these people to put them down by the sword. That's not messing around. That's not saying, hey, let's go have cake and cookies and rose-colored glasses. Jesus was walking. Jesus was an anarchist. He was upset. He didn't want any government. And he was trying to – this isn't the first time I believe he's been here either, because this has happened before, you know, with the civilizations where these bastard people, these demons, they just can't get rid of them. Because you're talking about Lucifer. They believe they're God's chosen people. I don't care what you call them. If you call them the Jews, if you call them the Freemasons, if you call them the Zionists, the Khazarian Mafia, they're all the same, because from the get-go, just like God said, you are of your father the liar and of the synagogue of Satan. That's all they do is change names and steal, and they believe in child sacrifice. And you know what? When America realizes who these people are and what they believe in, if they stand behind them still and Israel, they can kiss my ass, because they deserve what they get then, because these people are sick. It's sickening.
It is. It is. Let me bring out a private caller, too, here. He's got their hands up. Private caller, another caller here. Go ahead. Private caller, go ahead.
Hey, Joe. How you doing? It's me.
I'm doing all right. All right, how you doing, Sarge?
All right.
Hey, Sarge.
I'm doing good. I'd really like to go over a nuts and bolts stuff about the militia with your guest, since he's bringing up a very important issue, one that's near and dear to my heart, because I believe the state's militias are in total disrepair, total atrophy, and they need to be restored. So in that respect, I'm definitely with your caller. But I'm not understanding exactly some of the things he's speaking of, and I've got a misunderstanding. I'd like to have it corrected, so I at least understand what your position is. But before I ask the questions I'd like to ask, I'd just like to explain briefly my understanding of the militia, and I'm going back to before the United States even existed. I'm talking about April 19th of 1775, when the Massachusetts militia, that was one of the many militias that every town was expected to maintain of at least one company, somewhere in the neighborhood of 60 men or so, commanded by a captain that the militia elected. And most of the militias of the various colonies were similar to that. They had elected commanding officers, and they were usually in the neighborhood of 60 or so people. And they were duly constituted under the governing assemblies, the native colonial assemblies that formed them, like the House of Burgesses or the Virginia Commonwealth or whatever it was. And they were answerable in some respect in a chain of command to someone in that line of authority. Now, this is before the United States even existed, before the 1903 Dick Act completely confused everything. Everybody got confused when they created the National Guard, because it ain't that militia, that traditional militia, the Minutemen traditional militia, even though the National Guard appropriated that as their symbol. Now, what my question to your guest is, is the militia you're referring to, would that be a militia that would be essentially autonomous and capable of making action on its own, so they decided to enforce DUI roadblocks or things of that nature and enforce the law of the state on their own and on their own authority?
No. I'm advocating what you just described, you know, elected, you know, commanders, all under a state militia would be under the governor of that state. That's why we need
right.
a governor who is a who understands the Constitution, not only the U.S. Constitution, but the Constitution of the state that he's governor of. And as I mentioned earlier, as governor of Texas, I would have the authority to restore that type of militia. It's the private militias that are on their own authority are going to get their people killed
or
jailed.
In trouble. Yeah.
Right.
Okay, then you cleared up my misunderstandings then. Okay, that clarifies it, because I was kind of getting this idea of this autonomous militia, which apparently you're not speaking of, and I think we're on the same page with regard to that. Now, next question I have for you. Every state that I know of, I'm from Illinois. That was my home state. That's where I'm an expatriate from. I escaped to Georgia to get the hell away from Illinois because it's going to hell in a handbasket, even more so than Georgia is, and I had to get the hell out of it. But I was very familiar with the Militia Act of the state of Illinois and what it allows for. And, by the way, I just want to make it clear before going further, the right to keep and bear arms is independent of any membership in a militia. The reason we got the right to keep and bear arms
Correct.
Is to ensure that there will be a well-regulated militia that secures a free state. That's the reason we have it. So it's independent
exactly.
of being in a militia. But take a look at the Militia Act, and it specifies who's in it. Tells you what the organized militia is, what the unorganized militia and all that is. And it lays out clearly what it is. But like in Illinois, like in most other states, it's just atrophied to the point of non-existence. I know you criticize Texas State Guard, but it is more of an active state guard than almost any other in the United States. Now, how do you view the militia acts of the various states? What do you think needs to be done to reform them and get them into line with the traditional understanding of the militia? And how would you like to see that come about?
Well, my focus is on Texas, as I think I mentioned earlier. I don't know. I'm not familiar with militia acts of other states, but Texas State Guard, the Air Guard, all of these law enforcement type of entities, because I won't call them militia, they are voluntary. The Texas State Militia and any state militia is compulsory duty. And if you don't want to serve, then go to another state that's, you know, you don't have to. But if you want liberty, you have to work for it, and you have to be a part of the defense of liberty. So the Texas State Militia is going to be compulsory, and because it is compulsory, and the age is, you know, 17 to 45 or whatever, I mean, we could change that if necessary. I estimate that there are 66 million, and I use that figure for a reason. I tell people it's the marketing, stupid. It's all about marketing. But anyway, 6 million Texians
somebody with
US
background
military.
Noise. Anybody's got background noise, please. Watch your background noise, please. I don't, you know, please. All right, go ahead, Nick. I'm sorry.
Anybody that is not part of the state militia is going to get into trouble with the federales because they're not going to recognize your authority. But the Texas State Militia will have the authority through the governor of defending the state of Texas and the border. We'll be shutting down the border. And I'm not talking just about the southern border. I don't want liberals from California moving to Texas either. So and with 6 million state militia, we can surround the borders of Texas.
Yeah, that might be a thought.
Well, I really like the fact that you mentioned that militia service is compulsory, because if you look at even the Militia Act of Illinois, when the governor makes a muster call, then everybody within that age group that the governor musters is expected to turn out bearing weapons and arms supplied by themselves and of the kind and common military use at the time, according to the Supreme Court in the Illinois versus Presser. And they're supposed to show up. If you don't show up, there's a pain of penalty in the law, even in Illinois, of being court-martialed for not answering a muster call from the governor. Nobody pays attention to it, though. It's like it's a dead letter.
Right.
It's like dead and buried, and nobody's ever going to bring it up. Nobody even thinks the militia is ever going to be called up, because we've got the National Guard, and that's what people think is actually the militia.
Yeah.
Can I ask you guys a question? Now, our sheriff, our constitutional sheriffs that we relied on so much and we knew that had the power to do so much, and even deputized the citizens, isn't that, I mean, man, you know, because you have them in place. I know it just seems like there's not a lot of them. I understand that, but that they're already there. Why haven't they stepped up and challenged everything that we're seeing going on? I mean, now it's 3 years into this with Abbott and this Mr. Potato Head, is that an idea that we rely on the sheriff again and try to get them? Because to me it seems like they're worried about their paycheck, and because it comes from wherever, the Fed or whoever, you know, through the state, that they won't get their money. And, I mean, to me, you take that oath, the money shouldn't matter. I understand it's your career, but then if you don't have a life or you don't have a country to work in, it doesn't matter. Everything you're going for is gone. And I just don't see him stepping up. I mean, is that something you guys in Texas are relying on? Is the sheriffs are talking about it?
Well, I don't know about – I would say the counties, anybody who's a constitutionalist is probably thinking the sheriff. But because of the stupid political parties, the Republicans and the Democrats – they're relying on those clowns that run for office to do the job that the people are supposed to do. That's why I say the people need to take back power, and the only way they can do that is through the state militia.
Arizona right now? They have something going on in Arizona where they just threw out the city council or something?
And yeah, I heard something going on.
I'm not...
I've seen that.
I have a contact in Arizona that I can ask.
Maricopa County.
I'm not familiar. Well,
yeah,
that
Maricopa County.
Maricopa County. I forget who the guy was that made
but
headlines.
They went in there,
I mean,
and
he was
they have
conservatives.
An attorney. The attorney went in there and told them and gave them a pretty good lineup of a good speech, and I think they had some time until today to come down and resign. They're looking to go into jail. And I mean all of them walked out, the whole council, because they knew that they were in some deep crap. I'll have to look into
it. Yeah, I heard something.
But I know that was some of the stuff that we talked about before with on other telephone calls and podcasts where like Mike was talking with that one gentleman that was in he was supposed to be in Tennessee, the attorney. I forget his name, Joe.
Eric Dingy.
The guy that had all the counties lined up.
Eric Dingell.
He's from Texas.
Yeah.
The most probably most famous. Can you hear me?
Go ahead, Nick. Yeah, go ahead, Nick.
Yeah.
I say probably the most famous or infamous, depending on who you talk to, sheriff in Maricopa County was Joe Arpaio, and. He ended up, I'm not sure of all the details, but he ended up basically to be sort of false opposition. He did a good job about immigrants and whatever tent city that he built or whatever. But again, these sheriffs should be getting behind the state militia movement. I started an organization, We the People for President, and we're trying to build a coalition of groups and individuals who want to restore state militia. You got former Sheriff Richard Mack, and, you know, maybe I'll tick off some listeners here, but he's a Mormon, so I don't trust him. But he started the Constitutional Sheriffs and Police Officers Association, CIOA.
Yeah, I was part of his group.
And what do they do? You know, they don't talk about state militia. I mean, do they think just sheriffs and deputies can take on the U.S. military? I don't think so. And let me make one thing very clear. This is very important. Militia is not just about fighting and defending, you know, repelling invasions, suppressing insurrections, and executing the laws of the Union. Militia can also be used for natural disasters and those kind of things. So when the governor calls out the militia, it could be for hurricane relief or whatever.
Yeah, flood relief, you know, natural disasters. Sure.
Well, Joe, you know, it was pretty common, even in the 20th century, for governors to call out militias for all sorts of purposes. I mean, you know, they would call out the militia, and it wasn't at all unusual. I mean, in the 20th century, particularly in the early part of the 20th century, before World War II, I mean, it happened hundreds of times in various states throughout the country. Nobody thought it was unusual the governor would call up the militia, and they were not necessarily the National Guard. But in Georgia, the sheriff is codified in Georgia law, chapter 17-4-24, that says a sheriff can summon to his assistance either in writing or orally any of the citizens of the neighborhood or county to assist in the execution of laws, posses, and warrants. That's in Georgia law.
Okay. Why aren't they doing it?
Well, let me give you another. I could give you another example. Alabama. If George Wallace had not been controlled or false opposition, he could have called out the Alabama state militia to keep the University of whatever it was, Alabama, segregated.
Alabama.
Because that's a state prerogative. I mean, that's state sovereignty. So, you know, those kind of issues.
Yeah.
And again, you know, if a person doesn't like how a particular state operates, you know, here in Texas, we're not keeping you prisoner. You can go somewhere else.
Yeah, you know, but the thing of it is, though, is what you said there, Nicky. Go ahead, Mike. I'm sorry.
Okay, so I'm looking at the what they call the Louisiana State Guard, and here's how they describe this thing. It was created in World War II, and it's a part of what they call the Louisiana State Militia Organization. Okay, so obviously, I don't know if that, the State Militia of Louisiana is what it's called. Louisiana State Guard, State Militia of Louisiana. So we do have a state militia, and I believe that's what our governor has called out to go over to Texas to help out. So
now you say help out? Help out with you what? Help out do what? What do you mean help out?
With the border, with the whole border thing.
Okay.
To help protect that fencing, that razor wire. So,
yeah, sure. Okay.
So
all right.
Obviously the new governor here understands what a militia is, and he's using this militia to go help go protect Texas. So obviously he understands more than the Texas governor does.
Okay, okay. So the question of it being is what I have to say is this, Mike, is that, okay, he understands what the militia is, all right, but again, well, he's sending a guardsman, but he's not, who is he sending? He understands who the militia is, but he's sending the wrong people. He's sending National Guardsmen. They're not militia. Right? Am I right or wrong?
No, it says Louisiana State Guard. It's not a National Guard thing. State Guard. Different.
Okay. Okay, who's in that? Who's
yeah,
the
there's a difference between a state. Look, most states today have what they call the organized militia in the statutes and the unorganized militia and the organized militia. The organized militia is that part of the state that is regularly in organization as a military organization, like the National Guard when it's in state service and it's not federalized. You got to remember, the National Guard is a reserve component of the United States Army. It's not separate and above, and it can be federalized anytime the Department of Defense or the President decides to take it into federal service. So that's the biggest part of the organized militia, but the unorganized militia can only be summoned in a federal service by an act of Congress under the U.S. Militia Act.
True. Okay. All right, we got that out of the way.
And
okay, but the
term unorganized militia is an oxymoron. I have a great article. I'll tell your listeners, Joseph, that the best website I know of deals with militia is constitutionalmilitia.org. That's where I get all my information. And, people from other states sending their state guard to help Texas, that's ludicrous, too.
Yeah, guys, with the background noise, time out. Somebody, whoever's got the background noise, if you're doing jumping jacks, doing dishes, whatever you're doing, you can't, believe me, this show's going to be in the archives. Nobody will be listening to it because they can't hear it. So, so please, if you got to mute yourself, mute yourself. But anyway, go ahead.
I'm muted.
Okay. Okay, guys.
I'm muted, too.
All right, so somebody's doing it. I don't know. It's not me, I can tell you that. But,
okay.
just be as quiet as possible. Just please. That's all I ask. Go ahead, Mike.
Okay, here's what it says. All units of the Louisiana State Guard were deployed in support of the Louisiana National Guard in 2005 in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. So the Louisiana State Guard and Louisiana National Guard are two different things.
Correct. Okay,
right.
That's
sure.
Correct. And Hurricane Katrina was a big, big toy that they used to confuse the people about what militia was. There was a lot of chaos down there. Right, Nick? Mike, that was just a total,
yes.
Nonsense.
Yes.
Yeah, they were going
out.
Joe, just raised an important point when he pointed out the fact that the term unorganized militia, which is a legal term in many states, so we have to address it. But he did make a very good point when he says, it's an oxymoron because the Second Amendment speaks of the well-regulated militia, and well-regulated did not mean every cockamamie law they can come up with to keep you from owning firearms or military utility. Well-regulated meant well-trained, well-organized, disciplined, and equipped. That's what they meant in the 18th century when they used the term. But since all the states, and I mean every one of them to greater or lesser degrees, have allowed their militias to atrophy and not be meaningful in any real sense since they got the National Guard that pays for the equipment and the facilities and when they're on summer training duty, the salaries and everything else. The federal government takes much of the load off the state. They have allowed their state militias to atrophy for that very reason. And this is part of the problem we're having in resurrecting the militia to the pride of place it once had in the 18th and 19th centuries. This is the problem.
Amen. 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 Correct. That is very so correct. I got about I got a 1 minute and 31 second piece here from Norm Olson. This is bad. This is classic. So I want to play this because it feeds into what we're talking about right here, right now. Mm-hmm. And it's important because if you remember correctly, during the 1990s, the militia was a dinner table conversation in the early 1990s with the Randy Weaver, Waco thing, and then the media and the Zionists and all these bankers and everything came together. They all came together and had their little Senate judiciary hearing, and they were able to demonize the militia, and that's what they did. And like somebody brought up earlier, everybody's fearful of that word, militia. Ooh. You know, so let me play this real quick, and then I'm missing two callers. Two callers were supposed to call in tonight, one from Florida. I don't know where the heck he is, so, but hopefully they'll join us here soon. But let me play this here real quick.
'94, when this all started, the militia simply saw the threat and we stood up against it.
Norm Olson is known as the father of the Michigan Militia, a paramilitary group that started in northern Michigan in the mid-90s and gained national attention following the Oklahoma City bombing, when the Senate began investigating local militia groups.
Justice is taken out of the equation.
And once again this past fall, when alleged militia members were charged in a plot to kidnap Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer.
Do you really think that anybody really wants to kidnap the governor?
Olson, now in his mid-70s, lives in Alaska. He spoke with Fox 17 on the phone Monday afternoon.
I'm an advisor. I'm a propagandist, cheerleader for the militia, apologist for the militia, researcher for the militia. I know where it came from. I know how it's supposed to behave.
According to Olson, the recent attack on the Capitol is anything but how militias are supposed to behave. He says militias were in D.C. to hear the president speak, but blames provocateurs for stirring up the violence.
The dissipators, the troublemakers, took their lead, and there was no one to stop them. I think the next time around, if the militia would get it, act together and realize that they have a responsibility to actually stop that kind of mayhem and misbehavior, they have a responsibility also. So I would have liked to see more militia actually try to put down this demonstration.
The FBI is now probing if there was a connection between extremist groups and the violence at the Capitol.
That's not the way the Second Amendment militia acts. Second Amendment militia is well regulated, and there was nothing like that.
Olson claims militias like the Michigan one he co-founded exist to defend the Second Amendment and liberty, and he refutes claims that they are anti-government.
I want to see the rule of law upheld. I want to see the Constitution upheld. I want to see the spirit of the Republic upheld and reinforced.
He maintains the baseless claim that the election was stolen from Donald Trump.
All right, we'll go get out of that one. I'll get into the election thing. But that basically, well, how he describes the militia is what the militia is. Any disagreements there with anything that was said, or is that where we're going? I mean, he wants to see the revival of the militia to what? You know, the spirit of our Constitution, our republic, to defend the Second Amendment, defend our borders. You know, we have a responsibility. There's a responsibility, like you were saying, when they're called up, Sarge, they're called to duty. You know, so, again, with my friend Nick here on the line here tonight down in Texas, again, I can't stress it enough. We've got the issue on the table here. How are we going to feed off of that and bring people to the table to bring back our republic? Nick, start with you first. Again, I mean, is there any information here that you can give us? Anything else you want to add here?
Well, I'll come back to say that militia cannot be anti-government because militia is government. Now, that's the true militia as the Constitution defines it. The private militias, yes, I agree. We have a natural right from God to defend ourselves, so we can form our own private militias. Our states are not for doing that, but when
well,
you form a private militia,
you know, how do we get the states to go back to doing it?
You elect the people. Either stateless, states differ. Some states, Texas is one of them, the governor has the authority to restore the militia. You do not need to go through the state legislature. That may apply in other states. So as governor of Texas, I mean, that's probably one of the main primary platform that I would run on. Again, if anybody's listening, I need a campaign manager with some guts, is to tell the people, I will restore this Texas state militia. We will end abortion. You know, mothers should not be able to murder their babies. We will end the border. We will secure the border. We will get the money powers out of Texas. We will get rid of the IRS. These are all hot button items that patriots and conservatives and certainly Christians should get behind. And I also have a means to watch out for vote fraud so that they can't steal the
election. How would you curb? How would you fix the elections? How would you fix? How would you restore election integrity? I mean, what would you be your ideas to restore election integrity? And because obviously nothing's been done to fix the voting problem we have in this country right now. I mean, you know, we still have the same broken system.
Right. I would direct the Secretary of State. We would return to paper ballots counted at the precinct in full view of the public. But in order to get to be governor, there is a what I call the affidavit plan, which would be able to monitor the vote and basically warn the vote frauders that we are watching. And maybe we'll have to have a private militia to make sure that we're not vote frauded. I don't know. Like I say, the campaign manager, we sit down with them, with our campaign staff, and we come up with a knock them dead type of, not literally, type of campaign that would get grassroots excited. I'm not going to appeal to the damn Republicans and Democratic voters of Texas. They just continue to enable the crap that we have right now in Austin. I'm going after the people who refuse to vote anymore. And there's more of them than there are Republican Democratic voters.
What do you say about the federal and state governments that have already outlawed private military type training and militias? You know, I mean, there's laws that have been passed by Congress. So I think somebody put in the chat room there, the 118th Congress, Senate Bill 3589. 29 states have statutes that prohibit groups of people from organizing as private military units without the authorization of the state government. What do you say about that? I mean, well, that's what we're saying. It wouldn't be unlawful then, because he's saying that if he's elected governor, we would authorize militias through the state. We would bring back state militias. So therefore, that law would be, I guess, wouldn't conflict with the militia then, right? Am I correct?
No, correct. No, it'd be null and void. But I could be pretty sure that of the 29 states, Texas is not one of them that's passed that bill.
All right. Yeah. Okay. So you don't have that.
And as I said, my focus is Texas.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I understand that. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, because you know, we individual states, we got to take back our states' rights. I mean, we could do this on a national level, it would be suicide. But go ahead, Sarge. You want to say something?
Well, Joe, here's why it would be unconstitutional. Laws like that, and they haven't been tested, I don't think, in any Title III court, Article III court. But here's why they would be unconstitutional. Because you have a right of free association. I mean, you can associate with anybody you want. It's part of your First Amendment right. And you can call yourself any name you want to call yourself. That's part of your First Amendment right, too. And you have a right to keep and bear arms. And there is nothing unconstitutional whatsoever about learning and disseminating military tactics and drill. Now, the only reason they're getting away with this, because nobody's bothered to try to bring. They haven't brought any charges against anybody for doing this. And so since no one has been harmed by this, nobody can make a challenge to it in court. But I believe that if anyone was to get arrested and charged under these statutes, they could be deemed unconstitutional. Now, those people would not be in Second Amendment militia in the meaning of the Second Amendment, you know, being answerable to state authority like a governor, although ultimately they are, they get mustered But the point of the matter is that no state can tell you who you can associate with. No state can tell you you don't have a right to keep and bear arms. And no state can tell you you don't have a First Amendment right to learn about military tactics and drill. I'm telling you, it would be utterly unconstitutional.
We got about 10 more minutes then, Nick. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay.
We've got a response. All right. We can go. Actually, we can go for about another 30. I'm going to continue on the show. But how long can you stay with me tonight? Can you stay with me over the full length, or oh, you got to go?
Nope. I was just asking.
Okay. All right. Very good. Okay. Sure. Sorry. Okay. Go ahead. Continue on. I'm sorry.
Well, he's absolutely right. It's unconstitutional. Now, the problem is finding a court that is not ruled by the synagogue of Satan that's going to side with you. Because, anything that would prevent people from gathering and training with arms is an infringement of the right to bear arms, to keep
and
bear arms.
Well, let me ask you a question. Let me ask this question to you guys. First, you know, not to change the subject, but we see what Trump, we were trying to say, you know, he was an insurrection, and you know, and even Norm Olson there was saying, it's wrong, you know, what they did at the Capitol. I'm sure he was just saying that, but it was my situation. If anyone, or even here in North Carolina, if an organization outwardly publicizes or writes that the voting process should be ignored, or like, for instance, we should ignore, like Trump was saying about Biden, we should ignore Biden being president, or we should ignore the voters, like they were doing me. If I was elected here in North Carolina, the voters should be ignored, and I should not be allowed to take my seat. Isn't that insurrection? Isn't that against the law? Or isn't that a contempt of Constitution, Sarge? Or Nick, didn't they violate the law by saying that?
Sarge, go ahead.
Nick, Sarge?
I didn't hear the question, Joe. Can you repeat the question, please?
What they're saying about Trump with the insurrection, where he's saying he's insurrection, where he violated the law. If I as an organization go out and say we need to bypass the Constitution, we need to ignore the Constitution, if so-and-so is elected to public office, we should ignore it. I'm demanding that the speakers of the House don't allow him to take his seat. If I say that as an organization, or as, like, for instance, the North Carolina Democratic Party Jewish Caucus did with me, isn't that against the law, Sarge, what they did?
Well, obviously you have a right to say that. I mean, you have every right in the world to say you think the Constitution ought to be negated or ignored. You have every right to advocate for that point of view. The only thing is, as long as you don't do anything that's considered as a political group, yes. The only thing you can't do is to do sedition or insurrection. Sedition and insurrection is illegal, but to advocate for any position is protected by the First Amendment, period, in story.
Right,
even
to say something is,
what
they are trying to do, and I'm talking the synagogue of Satan and their useful idiots, is to suppress free speech. So they make laws that say, if you say this, we're going to throw you in jail or fine you. That's what state militia will stop.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm just making
sure. We know for a fact.
That's exactly right, Joe. That's exactly right.
These guys, this started back when they started singling out the militias because they knew that the people with the guns in America, their plan, this is a plan that's gone on. So they knew that what they were going to try and do was, number one, suppress the guys who, or at least round them up and get their head count so we know who they are, keep tabs on them, try to take their guns from them, and proceed thereon, where now you have anti-Semitism, where if you say anything against anybody, you're going to get dragged into court, you lose your platform, you get all your money, everything, it's just ridiculous, and it's all because of the Zionism and this because they... We know it's the synagogue of Satan. It's these people again that this plan has gone on, and they've done it everywhere else, and they're not going to stop.
But they're getting away with it. They're getting away with it. We say something like that, we go to jail.
That's right. That's right.
They're getting away with it because there's not
on everybody.
They get away with it because there's no Christian men in state militias to take care of business.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Joe, here's another reason why what your question proposes would be unconstitutional. We have a little thing in the United States Constitution called the Fifth Amendment. And the Fifth Amendment to the Constitution, not Fifth Amendment, Article 5 of the Constitution, which deals with the amendatory process. The amendatory process allows, when certain criteria are satisfied, a constitutional convention to be convened that is completely beyond the control of both Congress and the President, completely beyond their control. So the people can actually rewrite the Constitution. They could literally throw out the old Constitution and rewrite a completely new one. So people could call for an Article 5, an Article 5 Convention of States, and if that is the subject matter to be discussed, if they say, we're going to advocate for completely throwing out the old Constitution and writing a new one. And if they can get three-fourths of the states to ratify it, then guess what? The Constitution is tossed out and a new one is adopted. So therefore, that is proof positive. The Constitution allows for it.
I thought Donald Trump
did that. I'm saying the Constitution. Well, that's what they say. But I'm just saying the Constitution allows for it to be, the Constitution has the mechanism in it to allow it to be completely rewritten. So there's no way possible you could say someone advocating to ignore the Constitution is subject to arrest for it. No way.
Okay. All right. But you interfere with the election process. That's against the law,
though,
isn't it?
But don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong, though, Joe. Joe, I want to make this clear. Don't get me wrong. As long as the Constitution exists, it is illegal to make a conspiracy to commit sedition or insurrection. As long as it, you cannot conspire to overthrow the Constitution.
Well, that was my point,
Charlie. You can't commit sedition or insurrection. You can advocate for it, though.
That was my point, though, Sarge. If they're conspiring behind my back, let's just use me, for example, behind my back and contacting House members in the North Carolina representatives saying we're not going to let them in. They're conspiring. No, we're not going to let them in. And they're creating media reports. Isn't that sedition? Aren't they violating? I mean, surely, you know, that's a traitor.
No, actually is lying. And, you know, again, lying is protected by the First Amendment. Libel and slander isn't. So as long as it ain't libel and slander, it's just political lying. The courts have ruled, yeah, these politicians can lie.
That's
as long
right.
as they don't slander or libel.
Yep.
I got you then. I understand. Yeah.
Now, are we
going to
talk
all right.
about the Constitution? If this country has gone bankrupt like they claim it has, and this is supposedly a corporation, is our Constitution null and void then? All the paperwork that follows that?
Well, that's the $64,000 question, because because then you get into the de jure versus de facto issue, and I don't understand that issue fully. I understand the argument about it, but that's why I say if you elect me as the de facto governor of Texas, I'm going to bring in the de facto 6 million Texas state militia, and we'll change the government to de jure. We'll go back to common law and those kind of things. But
so
there's got to be
was,
a first
yeah,
step.
That was my plan, actually, too. You know?
That's an interesting way to put it.
Now, if I had a campaign manager, we would actually try to run for Congress this year, because the gubernatorial race is not until 2026, although I'd make a lot of noise to
No, you'd have to start now
out.
With the gubernatorial. You'd have to start running for governor now. Something has to be
well,
done.
Well, if I could
get
into Congress in 2024 or January 2025, then I would be much better than Marjorie Taylor Greene.
You got 86,000 people behind you. You got 86,000 people behind you last time. You can have a good a push here. I mean, you'd have to. I mean, you can't do it. You have to get out there before they declare. You got to be out there feeling like you said. You have to have a staff. You got to get a staff going. You know. But again,
exactly.
we get this going. You know, and Texas. I mean. It's got to start someplace, man. I tried here in North Carolina, and now I'm shot for another year and a half, you know? And I don't know if I'm even going to, you know, I don't know.
The biggest problem with trying to run with the mentality that we have, because they deem us wrong, you have this Zionist group of jerk-offs that have so much money that no matter what, whoever's in office, that's why you have your rhinos coming through, because they are making them, in order to stay in their seats, do what they want, or they will fund who you're running against, and they will run you right out of town.
Yeah.
They have too much money. It sucks.
Yeah, you're right. It does take money. Go ahead, Nick.
I have a plan for that, but again, I don't reveal too much. Because that's going to come through a campaign manager and a campaign staff. And we don't need – we just need to create a movement. I don't actually need to be elected. But I founded We the People for President as a Christian and patriot movement. And
I agree.
You know, 100,000 or more Texians who – I truly believe that there's 100,000, at least 100,000 Texians out there who are Christians and patriots and who want to see justice done. And we're going to bring the IRS into it, the money powers, the anti-Semites. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun, and with God as backing us, who can be against us?
I wanted to get Dan on here tonight. I couldn't get a hold of him. I was hoping he's very, very well spoken, very well knowledgeable on these subjects, but getting too many people on the panel, then, you know, we don't get the message of, you know, what we're trying to bring forth. But, again, what we're trying to stress here, again, is what's going on down there in Texas with the border, and the issues are on the table, but we have nobody sitting at the table. I keep hearing stuff coming from Texas, but, like, you know, Mark Konorky down there at the border, everybody's going down there, everybody's rallying things up, but I don't see anything happening. I don't see the spark. I just don't see it. I think it's just, you know, not like when, remember the Bundy Ranch when that happened? You know, I just don't see anything happening.
Oh, yeah. That was another, what do they call it, cluster,
cluster
screw.
Who do we got?
Got Patriots rally, though.
I mean, but it also got Lavoie Finicum dead, murdered.
Right.
And
yeah.
if the Bundys, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, the Bundys could be controlled opposition, because.
I don't think the Bundy was. I don't think he was.
What about Pete Santilli? What about Santilli?
Hear me out.
Operation.
Go ahead, Nick.
If you're not
Go ahead, Nick.
A constitutional patriot who's trying to restore your state militia, you're just wasting people's time. Because the state militia is the only one that would have the power to take on the U.S. military and National Guard.
Because the state militia can
be armed just like the U.S. military and the National Guard. And that's why
They'd be organized.
And they are organized.
They'd be organized.
Well regulated, exactly.
Yeah, because if you
just one quick point, if you had 6 million people with AR-15s against the U.S. That wouldn't do any good because they would be disorganized, and they would certainly not have the weaponry to take on the U.S. Army, Navy, and the National Guard.
Nick, that brings up an interesting point. I don't think the United States military would I don't think as a whole. I think there'd be mutiny. I think it would fall apart. I don't think they would have to. I don't think they could organize just the United States military to take on the American people. They'd have to bring in foreign troops, you know, which they have.
They got these
kids now playing video games, the ones that they're brainwashing, the transgender ones that that's what they're forming them for. You know, they're going to be the ones that are going to get up and going to follow these idiots to fight us if that would ever happen. Because you would think that anybody I'm 50, anybody that's anywhere near 35 or 40 in the military would say, are you out of your mind? I'm not going to fight my own people.
My campaign would have an education platform for the military to show how they are betraying the U.S. Constitution.
Yeah.
And I was at the VA today, and it hit me, you know, they always talk about thank you for your service. Well, it should say the Jews thank you for your service to the state of
Israel. Israel, thank you for being the paramilitary arm of the fascist communist pricks that are running it.
But it's the people that are also supporting this arm of the Zionist movement too. It's the people within our own country, and the evangelical Christians are just as guilty for supporting them.
That is absolutely the biggest problem we will face is getting Christians to understand that these people that claim that they've been brainwashed and been told by these evangelicals that run these big churches that it's Israel first, and that they're God's chosen people. But they say they're God's chosen people, but they fail to tell you which God that is, with it being Lucifer. And they run that muck, and they run this victim status. So you have that mentality that as soon as you speak, and they did a good job. Hey, you got to give it to them. They did a good plan with a blueprint on how to get this victim status to maintain it, because if you look and see what the actual Holocaust numbers, they claim to be 6 million, but I can show you newspapers from 20 years prior to Hitler even being in political office that they're talking the 6 million number in the New York Sun and the New York Times, and that they redid that number. They figured it. But nobody says a word about that. They said, well, there wasn't 6 million. There wasn't anybody gassed, number one. They're starting to prove that, and they're debunking that, and it's completely – it's a sad thing that that's what these people have gone to and lied and made it – now, it's affected all the Christians is what I'm getting to, because the Christians believe through our evangelists that, hey, these people have been persecuted their entire lives. You know, they've been this – what? It just makes no sense to me to do the research.
They're climbing on the heels, atrocities did happen during World War II. Atrocities did happen, and groups of people were rounded up.
But nobody got gassed by Zyklon B. Nobody. That was for typhus and lice. That's what these assholes have loaded up, and they figured it out. That when they get off a train and they just go this way and this way. They're making lampshades one day. Next year there's a pile of feet. It's all BS because you have more people coming out that will debunk this and go to court. You find the blueprints from the different camps. You know what? And when you find a camp at Auschwitz, how many of these death camps that they claim had little choirs? They had soccer teams. They had a swimming pool. Real rough. Don't get me wrong. They were work camps. They were prisoners of war, and sure. And you know who ended up causing most of the problem were the Jews and the Bolsheviks the famine. The famine caused more death than typhus, and these people were trying to stop That's what they were using the Zyklon B for. If you do the math and you watch some of these court hearings where you have a guy that talks about actually what it takes, how the time to cremate a body, it's
I know that. But again, that's not gonna. But I know. But going back, hang on. Digging up this stuff though is not going to help us today. Because it's just not, you know, going back and arguing yesterday. We have to argue today. What's going on today? Who's involved today with the crimes of distorting the truth and taking away our liberties and destroying our republic today? What's the money? Who's funding this?
Anybody that Israel flag. Anybody that's back in Israel.
It's not just them,
right
though.
Now.
It's not just them, though. It's the same. There's a bunch of groups out there. You know, it's not just them. You know, there's a lot of evil out there, and we have to root it out.
It's a spider web, or an octopus, they call it. It's an octopus, and all the tentacles go out. But they all seem to come right together in Israel and Ukraine, and then you have your ADL, your Canadian ADL. I think the ADL is the problem, to be honest with you.
Well, they own the publications, I guess, not publications. But you know, I want to – I want to stick to the core here as to how we're going to regenerate the state lawful militia, because like Nick said, it's the only way. We have to have a security force. There has to be security to back up the people. Otherwise, you're going to have everyone running around like chickens with their heads cut off, and the powers to be are going to take advantage of that, and they're going to crush us. They'll crush us in a heartbeat.
I look at two states right now. I look at Texas and Florida as being crucial to what's going on. And Florida, you just throw it out the window now, because you got DeSantis or whatever, the scummus, going to Israel and signing an anti-Semitic bill to do one thing, to hold down everything that Nick's talking about, because when you, like you're trying to do this, they're trying to put these laws in place where you're not going to be able to speak out against them. It's not no longer going to be hate speech. It is a hate crime. 19 countries in the world already have it lined up. Florida sends this prick over there, and he signs it, and it comes back here.
Why
now,
expose ourselves to the enemy, though, Kate? Why expose ourselves to the enemy? Why do we go out there in the open then, and we don't have the numbers, we don't have the security? Why do that? We need to be working under the radar and doing it lawfully. Well, we can't go out there. Well, going out there and
if you're opposition to them, it doesn't matter. You are the enemy. You might as well get that.
I know,
head.
But don't let them know you're the enemy. Don't let them know you're the enemy.
You got to have somebody.
Well, you don't have to be under the radar to advocate for the restoration of state militia. And
no,
that's
not that. No.
Test for any group or individual. Is if you're not talking about the restoration of state militia in order to give power back to the people of the state, then you're either false opposition or controlled opposition.
Hang on. That's an important point I wanted to bring up. We have to be careful with this pointing the fingers of everybody's a Fed, everybody's controlled, and we have to be careful of that, because then we rip ourselves apart and we destroy ourselves from within. You know, we can't worry about that. We know who's who. You know who you are. Do what's right. Fight for what's right. Speak for what's right, and stand up for truth. And you're judged by the content of your character and what you represent. You know, all this pointing fingers. He's controlled opposition. This guy, as soon as a guy gets popular, you know what he is? He's a Fed. You know, I can't stand that. You know, as soon as a guy gets money behind him or he gets a position, automatically he's a Fed and he's controlled opposition. We destroy ourselves. I've watched movements get destroyed because of this.
Not only that, but you'll have them come out and say that you're anti-Semitic.
Yeah.
I'm probably considered to be a Fed or some agent provocateur because of what I'm saying. But I point out, what Fed is going to tell you a lawful means of restoring power to the people through state militia? No. An agent provocateur is going to do what Trump did in setting up the January 6th frame. I mean, that was a big frame up because they want a war. They want some. They want private militias to start shooting, and that's not what I'm advocating.
Oh, I know. And that's not what we're advocating.
No,
yeah.
So I'm just so that's why a campaign with the plan that I have, I think would take off because we have it's a God, guts, and guns. God is number one. Christ the King. It's a Christ the King movement.
And I think that there's going to have to be something. I hate to say it. Something bad is going to have to happen. It seems like everybody is going to have to have it. Knock on their door and punch them in the nose or kick them in the nuts. Somehow or another, they're going to have to be physically affected by this situation in order for them to realize that they have to realize that now they were wrong and we need this militia, the state militia, to come back and restore order. That's what these people don't realize how severe this is.
So right now, where we stand? Right now, where do we stand? Do we have any
wait a minute, Joe.
Go ahead.
Well, Joe, look, I'd like to bring up one little elephant in the room that nobody's really addressed yet. And your guest has spoken of the need for a truly effective counter to the United States Armed Forces, which is what a real militia would be. It would be comparably, maybe not identically, but comparably equipped in terms of heavy weapons, crew serve weapons, support aircraft, artillery. If we're talking about a militia like that, then we're talking about a lot of tax money to support it. And I can guarantee you, most of the people in the State of the Union ain't going to pay it. Now, if you talk about a small, light infantry militia, which would fight to its strengths and to the weakness of their enemy, because, look, if you're fighting asymmetrically, you do not fight to the strengths of your opponent. You fight to their weaknesses, and you fight to your strengths. Now, we're talking about a light infantry-type component, maybe with a few drones mixed in. Okay, that people of the state might go along with that. But I can guarantee you, they're not going to want to pay the tax money for the kind of equipment to make it a comparable counterpoint to the United States Armed Forces. I mean, they'd rather pay taxes for transgender operations than that.
Why do you believe we need tax money to do that?
Because this kind of equipment I'm thinking of is quite expensive. I mean, really expensive.
But why do you think we need?
You think private funding would be out there to prove it?
Sure, it's expensive. But why do you believe that we need to tax, that the government needs to tax its people to fund it? Can a government
that's what they traditionally
create
do
its own? Cannot a government create its own currency?
Sure can.
The Constitution forbids states to coin money. Now, I think they've taken that also to mean, since the Constitution forbids states to coin money, they've taken it to mean also to mint paper currency. Now, the states can raise revenue. That's true. There are ways they can raise revenue. And I would imagine, the point I'm trying to make is they would have to raise revenue one way or the other in order to get the kind of equipment to be an actual counterweight to the armed forces. That's what I really meant more so. Taxation.
Which is why I don't like to use the T word. Taxation is theft. And that's another primary platform campaign issue that I would bring
up. No, he didn't mean a direct tax. He was just speaking where we have to raise money. I didn't know what he meant by that. You know,
we have to raise the money for it.
Yeah.
Because you're talking about armored vehicles. You're talking about a very expensive piece of equipment.
Well, as I say, I've got the plan for that too.
Yeah.
Okay.
So where do we go?
I don't know where this campaign manager, who's not afraid of the M word, is, and he may not exist. I mean, God may not provide a campaign manager who's got the guts to get behind a platform that I'm talking about, and so be it. If that's God's will, then so be it.
Well, that's my next question, Nick. That's my next question. Put your message out there. You're basically here. What what do we want to tell? Because there's a lot of people that listen to this podcast, obviously. What do you want to put the message out there to, if anybody's listening, to reach you or what? Again, what's your next step? Where is Nick going from here?
Contact me on Telegram. That's the only nothing secure is out there. Okay, I understand that, but at least Telegram has never censored my talk, whether it's about the synagogue or militia or the IRA, whatever. So my Telegram handle is @TheMilitiaGuy. Contact me on Telegram. We got to get I've got subgroups on Telegram, but we could form a new one and you know, talk around the issue. But until I actually have a campaign manager who knows what the hell he's doing and that I can trust, I'm not going to, you know, get into details. But I can, you know,
well,
talk like
you
how I
staff.
Talk tonight.
Yeah, you need a committee.
It starts with the campaign manager. I've got the marketing guy. I've got a friend that I trust, a fellow Christian. But we need a campaign manager and somebody who knows about campaign financing, because we already have a plan for a super PAC and something like that, which, you know, can raise. I can see, because of my anti-IRS platform part of the campaign, I could see that millions can be raised in a super PAC. But, you know, super PACs have to be separate from the candidate. So we need somebody that we can trust that will put together a super PAC. We already have the idea and the concept. But, yeah, you're right. Campaign staff is required, but definitely a campaign manager to start. That's the first step. I just stay retired. Well, I've
when
been
do
putting
you
the word
moving
out
on
for over 10 years. So
okay, I know. I understand.
I had a website that we couldn't get raised $200 to renew the website for another year. That's how pathetic Patriot.
Yeah, that's how
is.
Pathetic the Patriots are out there today. Yeah, that's how it is out there. I mean, I was able – my campaign here in North Carolina, I was able to raise a little over $5,000, you know. And I had one guy donate $3,000 in one shot, you know. So that backed me, you know. So, you know, I mean – but that, and that was for a House of Representatives to a district race. Now, if I was going for Congress, in the United States Congress, I would have to raise $50,000 easy, you know, $100,000. You know, I mean, you need $1 million to run for governor. You have to have $1 million to run for governor in the state of North Carolina. That's what it takes.
That's the problem.
All right.
You shouldn't have to have that.
Yeah.
You know what? You should not have to be that way.
Well,
I know.
I don't believe it either. I don't believe you have to have it. I think you just need some seed money.
I've done the numbers,
Nick.
I've done the Nick. I've done the numbers.
If you have the plan to overcome vote fraud and you have the plan to kill the IRS. Everybody hates the IRS. Why wouldn't everybody contribute a little
bit? But nobody's
going to
hear about you, Nick. No, to advertise in 100 counties in North Carolina.
Nope. I've got the plan for that. I've got the plan to force.
All right, well, I'd be interested in knowing.
I can force FCC licensed stations to run my ads.
Okay, well, when would they run them, though? You know, 3 o'clock in the morning, you know?
They have to run them when you say to run them. And if they don't, then you can sue them. Again, we go back to the judicial system. You can sue them for their station's license.
Well,
put them out of
what I'm doing right now here in North Carolina, Nick, I'm going to tell you right now, I believe that right now with what's going on around the country with the lack, unless the New World Order and these thugs, these criminal cartels pull something dynamic in the next 9 to 12 months which I thought they were going to. I don't see it right now. Maybe if they get jumpy with this digital currency, then it could be all over. But I think we could probably can make it to the next midterms and probably the next presidential race in this country before we finally this country is just completely done. And it's broken up into little monopolies or little sections, and we have a complete loss of our republic, totally lost. That's from what I see it right now, from my opinion, from studying the New World Order for the last 35 years. You know, so that's what I think. But, you know, I mean, some people say, no, this is the election right here, you know, with Trump. If Trump don't get in there, it's all over. I don't see that. You know, I mean, I think we could make it to the next election even. But, you know, you think he'll get elected?
He's going to be anointed. It's his turn. He's going to be back.
Yeah, okay, so you think he's going to be in there as president. Okay, all right.
Right.
Okay. All right, that's interesting.
Yeah, all he's going to do, the whole time he's in, is to prolong what's going on so they can rebuild the new Jerusalem in Ukraine and...
Right.
Trump... That's all, steal more money.
Trump had he had 4 years to do it. And he didn't drain the swamp. He put more people in there, like his son-in-law,
right.
Synagogue of Satan, Jared Kushner.
Kushner, yep.
Chef Rob, New World Order, a term that goes back to the 1940s and never proven. You're wrong there, Chef Rob. The New World Order goes back to Nimrod and thousands of years prior, so you don't know what you're talking about there. And it has been proven. Mankind has been trying to formulate a New World Order for a long time. So it's just been used in different ways and different terms and different meanings. So you don't know your history there, Chef Rob, in the chat room.
And because of who is prince of this world, Lucifer himself, the angel of light, that's why there is going to be a new world order eventually.
Yeah, they'll get it.
I mean, the mark of the beast and what have you. But we as Christians battling for Christ the King, we can postpone it in our lifetime if we unite, organize, and mobilize.
Yeah, he says it's all bull crap. Well, you know, that's fine. You could say it's all bull and baloney, but the Tower of Babel did happen, you know, and you can deny it. You could deny the New World. You could deny what we're talking about here today. It's right before our very eyes, everything that's happening, the European Union, the African Union, I mean, the Asian Union. I mean, this is all happening right before our very eyes. I mean, United Nations, the League of Nations. I mean, all this has been heavily sped up over the years. So you can deny it. This is the problem we have, people denying this stuff, too. They deny what's right in front of our faces, you know?
Exactly.
And that's why we can't win.
When they talk about Russia. You know, nobody watches Europa.
we can win, Joseph. It's just we need to find the people who think like us. I don't waste my time with the naysayers and the Antichrist. And it's not just, you know, the synagogue of Satan isn't the only Antichrist. I mean, Trump is an Antichrist. Biden's an Antichrist. There's a lot of so-called Christians who are Antichrists.
And they say it's funny in the chat room. You know, it's funny. I don't think it's funny that losing my liberties. I don't think it's funny to give away my rights. I don't think it's funny that the men and women that fought and died for our freedoms, you know, that the blood is still fresh in the soil, that we're giving them up like nothing, and we're sitting and laying down and allowing these people. I don't think it's funny to see a gallon of milk go to $10 a gallon. I don't think it's funny to see the price of eggs the way they are, or a gallon of gas. I don't think it's funny at all.
It's
very serious.
Until it knocks on their door, just like Mike Tyson said, everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the mouth. And when that happens, then they're going to say, well, we should have listened. And you know what? It'll be too late for them.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you know, it's just, there are plenty of people wanting to join Prove You Lost Your Liberty. What do you join what? What are you talking about? And this person in the chat room, what are you talking about? Plenty of people wanting to join. Join what? Join what? No, this isn't the Boy Scouts. You know, what are you talking about? You know, so it's, you know, these people, they come out and they talk and they distract from the issues at hand here. I mean, I like going around with these people, but I don't like people who hide and then they give comments and they run away, you know. So anyway, we're going into overtime here. So it's 657-383-0616. We're going to so if you want to call in, you need to do it now. Otherwise, the chat room will probably get cut off. And then you won't hear us over the internet either. We'll go a couple minutes into overtime. So you need to call in, 657-383-0616. And, Nick, I don't know how much longer you can remain with us. I appreciate you staying the whole show. You know,
I've got nothing going.
Okay. Inflation is a lie. Companies just want to recoup their losses. You can't focus, Joe. I never run away. Well, call in then, and let's hear your voice, Chef Rob, and have a discussion on this, Chef Rob.
well,
you know,
well,
I mean,
Joe,
come on.
Yes. Joe, I'd like to remind everybody that, you know, Taliban was a light infantry force that kind of did reasonably well against the United States Armed Forces for how many years? 20, 23? They might not have been able to defeat United States Armed Forces in any meaningful sense, but they were able to hold on until the United States got tired of it and decided to leave, and they were as light infantry of force as you can possibly get. Like I said, you know, you don't fight to the strengths of your opponent, you fight to his weaknesses. And, you know, even if we couldn't get a militia equipped to the point where we wanted to be, if it is well-regulated, and it has a reasonable chance of accomplishing the objective of what it's intended to accomplish.
Yeah. Well, we're not talking about going to war here either. This is, we're just saying last case scenario if we are attacked or if America falls apart. And you know, I mean, we're not trying to advocate for violence.
That's what I'm talking about, Joe. That's what I'm talking about, Joe. But look, a military force exists to accomplish military objectives. That's the reason it does. So whatever your objective is what you want your military force to be able to accomplish, whatever it is. Doesn't matter what it is.
And
so you try to tailor that force to best accomplish that mission as best it can.
Gunslinger, did you hear what my friend Nick here? So we're talking about state militia. He's down there in Texas there. I think this is him now. 214, you're on.
Yeah, that's me, Gunslinger, 214.
All right, Gunslinger, how you doing
that's
today?
Dallas,
yeah, we like you missed most of the show.
Dallas Fort Worth area code.
Yeah, I think that's where he's from.
I'm just south of Dallas.
Well, okay. Of course, you know, with cell phones, it doesn't really matter nowadays with area codes because they could be spread all throughout the country.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we did have a good conversation here tonight so far with Nick, and like I said, reorganize, trying to put together back the state militia. You know, I was expecting two other people to call in from Florida. They didn't show up tonight, so that happens. You know, they said they might make it, so I was hoping somebody from Tennessee was going to come on, but I think he kind of wants the platform to all himself, so which he's got a lot to share. So, remember that cave. Yeah, he's another one. Where's he been? Where's he been? But, Nick, have you heard from him at all, Mike? The National Militia Coordinator there?
Nope, I haven't heard anything from him.
Yeah, I haven't talked to him in a few weeks now. I put the word out to him to join the show here tonight. So he was with the American Statesman. Hey, how you doing? No call in tonight, American Statesman. Usually you see what's going on, check in with us. He's from Florida.
What about Charles?
That's right. That's right. You don't agree with your neighbors, so kill them. You guys are all on the right track to MAGA. What's that mean? Now this is – oh, so I see what page you're coming, what book you're reading from. Okay. You know, so no. We don't say because people we disagree with. No. We agree with freedom. Liberty, the constitutional republic. If you're for communism and progressivism, you're an enemy of the republic. You're an enemy of freedom. You're an enemy of truth. We disagree with that. We don't want to kill you, though, but we'd rather not have you here in America. We'd rather see you ship someplace
Joe.
Else across the ocean.
You want to send money to Ukraine?
We need to tell people, and people need to understand that the purpose of government, I mean, I know it may bother people to think the purpose of government is to forgive your student loans, but the primary purpose of government, besides, you know, ensuring your inalienable rights are not alienated from you, is to defend your country and enforce the laws. That means there has to be a level of force for any government able to use. And the states are governments. They are governments. They need to have the power to be able to protect their citizenry just like any other government. So, yes, we are talking about a case of force that, yes, is capable of killing people. They all are. They're without exception. There's not one government in the world that has a military that doesn't have something that's capable of killing people. But the question under what circumstances are they doing the killing? Is the killing or the fighting justified? And I would hope it would be. If it is,
I agree.
So be it.
Agreed.
Yep.
Agreed on that.
Yep.
You know, I haven't heard from Adam in a long time. Adam was hasn't been on here for a long time now. My friend Adam there, he's from Ohio, actually, part of the militia, the private militia corps, I guess, back in the day. So I haven't heard from him in a long time. Hopefully he's doing okay. There's a lot of people I've met throughout the years on here that, you know, thousands of people that, you know, they disappear on me. You know, I can't even keep track of them all. But, they're here one minute and they disappear the next. So hopefully everybody's okay.
Think of all those people who applauded the government being willing to use force on January 6th, quote, insurrectionists, unquote. They were happy as pigs in SHIT about the prospect of the government coming down with all the force at its disposal on the so-called insurrectionists.
That's right.
See, they want to have a monopoly. Here's what it is, Joe. They want to have a monopoly on force. That's the problem with this. They don't mind force being used. They want to monopolize it, and they don't want it to be distributed as in the constitutional scheme. In the constitutional scheme framers came up with, they didn't want any one entity to have all of the force at their disposal. That's why we have federalism.
Sorry.
Yeah.
And it's not a goddamn democracy, you idiots. It's a republic. I'm so sick of hearing Congress and everybody say that's a Democrat. Kiss my ass.
Sure.
Well, we're in overtime now, so.
I figured.
But
you know another thing I'd like to say.
We
advocate killing people. Hey, we advocate killing people. The pedophiles and that kind of shit.
Hang on, one guy at a time here. One guy.
They want to control us, and they know the best way they can control us is to monopolize all the available means of force. That is why the framers did not want any such monopoly anywhere in our government. That's why they created the state militias, so they could decentralize the monopoly of force. But unfortunately, what has happened over the years, especially since the late 19th and beginning of the 20th century, the federal government has monopolized the maximum use of force. It's all in the federal government's hands.
Yeah.
You know,
correct.
I do condone kicking my neighbor's ass, or I do condone kicking the guy's ass that gets moved into my neighborhood that I get a flyer from that touches kids or is a pedophile, and these people think that shit's okay. Those are the first ones I want to take right out to the backside and say, hey, long tree, short rope, jerk off, you're first.
Hey, Joe, what was it that Joe Biden said? You need an F-15. Oh, then he changed it to an F-16. He doesn't know what the hell you need to take on the federal government. Remember what he told us. He told, if you don't have an F-15, your AR-15 is useless, which brings me to the $64,000 question. Then why do we issue a comparable weapon to every single infantryman in the United States Armed Forces if they're useless? What are they doing with all them billions of dollars they spend on all them M-16 variants if they're useless?
State militias don't want to pay their fair share of taxes, this guy
says. They would just say anything to you.
Nobody should pay any taxes.
Yeah. Well, where is it constitutional that we should have to pay a direct tax Where does it say we should have to pay any type of direct tax? It's unconstitutional, especially the income tax.
Ask that person that says that about taxes, and ask him if he believes in Jesus Christ. And if he says yes, tell him he's a hypocrite, because he's the one. That's exactly what the money changers got run out of the market for, was taxing people, usury. Some bum.
Yeah, well,
right up to 1913. Right up to 1913, without apportionment, it was illegal to levy a direct tax on anybody. That's why they had to pass the 16th Amendment, so they could do it.
That's right. That's right. Correct. And that wasn't properly ratified either, the 16th Amendment, I don't think. So,
I think it was the worst amendment in the Constitution.
Yeah, the 16th, so. The 17th, and the Reconstruction Amendments were all illegally passed. So they're basically,
so he said, don't use the roads. Don't use the roads. You don't want to pay taxes, don't use the roads.
When you don't have state militia, you don't have the power to enforce a null and void constitution.
Yep. Well, Chef
Rob. He said, whoever said don't use the roads, tell them, I said kiss my ass, because if they drove on my roads, this is like living in a third world country. If you ride on an airplane, have you landed in an airport lately? It's like going through Baghdad. We got the worst roads.
Taxes don't pay for road repairs. Taxes don't pay for road repairs or police departments or fire departments. Your taxes go
taxes
to pay the interest.
Taxes pay for politicians.
Interest. No, it goes to pay for you build bridges over in Ukraine. You're building, you're not paid. Your services are not what your taxes pay for. You have to understand the monopoly of the money and the monetary system.
Fund the pedophile ring that the upper class can run with, and the human trafficking. They keep it all under in a discreet, in a lawful and legal way of doing it. They just charge everybody to keep doing it.
Well, that's right, Bring It Boy. Another problem is Congress has delegated most of their powers away to unelected agencies, unaccountable to the people. And that's absolutely true. That's 100% correct statement. You know.
Yep.
So
you look at the ATF, like they're making laws. You know, they can just dream up whatever they want about any damn gun law they want. They assume that they have that power now, and they've gotten some of it.
Now this bubblehead, you see, now their eyes start bulging out of their head, and they start going crazy with the swear words and the perversion
they're
stuff
losing.
Like that. You see,
that's the sign that they're losing. They're losing, and they know it. They're losing the argument. So now they're getting desperate. They got name calling.
They
don't make arguments anymore because they're out of them. There's no more bumper sticker slogans when you start reciting.
They got the mascot of Lori Lightfoot, the bug-eyed freak show.
Got it.
Again,
this is it's okay. They even if this person is just playing games or doing their silly little troll games, at the end of the day, if they have any type of conscience or any type of morals, they're going to think about the things they said. You know, unless they're complete psychopath, evil scumbags, which they could be, or a moonbat. So you don't know. It could be a provocateur, So you don't know.
Every day, Joe, the news gets worse for them. More and more stuff comes out to undermine their worldview and the people they hope to implement their agendas. We're seeing more and more coming out. I don't know if you saw the testimony by Robert Hur today before Congress about the senile potato head corruptocrat and infested the White House, him and his grotesque administration. But more and more, the information looks more and more dismal for them every day. And, man, when they get desperate, that's when they get dangerous. The most dangerous 3 months in the history of the United States are going to be between the time Donald Trump gets elected and the time these rats leave the Congress and the White House. You're going to see them going crazy trying to implement their agenda.
This person knows you, Sarge, Chef Rob. This person says,
I know he does.
About me.
I know. We've locked on a whole bunch of times, and he's welcome to try to lock on for me again. I will defeat him again.
White House, guys.
Let him come on and take me on. Call in.
Guys, Guys, the White House comment line there. Shall we do our comments for tonight? Anybody? I did mine last night. You want to do yours tonight, Sarge? You want to talk to the lady when I call? Or how you want to do it?
you know what's going to happen. It is going to shuttle us off to a line that's not even active like happened last night. After hours, they're not interested in taking any complaints.
Yeah, but she heard me out, though. She did hear me out, though, when I was talking to her, when I asked the question.
Yeah, she's
just going
to send you to a line that's not active. Yeah, she heard
you out.
She's not going to repeat anything to anybody.
That's okay. It's okay. As long as we use the line and clog it up somehow, you know, or, you know, to get our comments in there.
I'd like to ask her some questions about what Robert Herr said about her president today. Ask her some questions about that.
All right.
I want to ask her if they could put another 7 feet of concrete up higher and some razor wire across the top of it and just lock all them sons of bitches up in there.
Well, we can't have everybody talking at once, so let's start going tonight.
Hey, Mike, what? Walls don't work, remember? Didn't they tell you walls don't work?
I can't. Too late. We're in overtime. I can't call out.
Oh, yeah,
we're in overtime,
right.
That's right. So, can't call out. Oh, well.
Yeah, Wall doesn't work. Huh? Wall is useless. And by the way, now that Governor Abbott has done what he's done at Eagle Pass, Texas, according to the Department of Homeland Security and the Border Patrol, the number of encounters at that point is down to double digits a day. Double digits, like less than 100, like 24, like 10, like 15. Now they're going through California, they're going to Arizona, they're going to Nevada, because they're not able to get through Texas easily anymore.
Wow.
What about
Walls
the new
generation? Walls don't work.
Walls do not work.
No matter what you hear, no matter what you see, walls do not work. Remember that.
I know what will work. We got to get somebody in Florida that's down near the Everglades, and we got to get a bunch of gators rounded up. And we relocate the gators in a natural environment, and we just let them swim. Go ahead. Come on across.
Okay. They got a Department of Natural Resources down there in Texas. They can make those kind of decisions, can't they?
Yeah.
Maybe they want to create some game for gator hunters, man. Gator hunting's a big deal in Louisiana.
Let's touch base real quick. Let's get back to the state militia thing. So right now, I want to ask, there's no states with a state militia right now? Is that what, Nick? There's no states right now with state militia? Is he still there, Nick? I don't know if he's still on the line or not. He should be.
I think Ohio speaks on the National Guard is what they're referring to it as.
Time out, guys.
Nick, he's back. Go ahead, Nick.
I contend because of what I've read of Edwin Vieira, the constitutional militia expert, that there are no government state militias. You may claim, I heard the term Louisiana state militia. But is it compulsory? I bet it's not. And that's part of what a true militia is. And
well,
it's
American Statesman says yes.
Not,
American Statesman
not
says Florida. Remember?
Well,
I got my Florida card too.
Yeah, but the governor never calls muster. Never.
Well, not only that, but again, was every male between 17 and 45 part of that Florida state militia? I bet it wasn't, and I bet it's not now. And do you think that DeSantis or what did somebody say? Nicknamed him the scum.
Oh, I'll just call him his name. I don't like getting into that nickname.
All I know is that he's a Catholic. He's a Catholic because I'm a Catholic Christian, but he's a bad Catholic because he supports the Antichrist of Israel, who are Antichrist the King.
Well, hang on here. Hang on. Hang on. It says right here, Florida Militia. Hang on. I got it right here. Florida Militia helping all Floridians since 1845. Let's see here. What's the bottom of the website? Who's got this web? Who runs this website? Well, it says copyrighted. Film, FL, FloridaMilitia.org, site powered by Blood of Tyrants. That's not government
Florida,
run, I'm sure.
Give me the website again, Florida Militia.
FLMilitia.org, site powered by Blood of Tyrants, copyrighted 2022. So it's got all the counties in Indian River. Let's see, I'm Indian River. Let's see here. That's Charlie Company.
Okay. FLMilitia.org. Okay.
Yes. It's got the training.
Which tells me
info.
Which
what's
tells
our info
me it's
here?
Not a, which tells me that URL tells me it's not a government militia.
Yeah, I know. That's what I said. Yeah.
It should be .fl.gov.
.gov.
Something like that.
Yeah. But hang on here. Let's see what they got here. This is what it says right here. Hang on. This is what it says. Who are the Florida Militia? Here we are. We're a strong brotherhood of law-abiding men, and so it's private. It's a private militia. Okay. We are a strong brotherhood of law-abiding men and women of diverse backgrounds. We are a group of caring, patriotic Americans who wish to share ideas, learn new skills, prepare for disasters, and participate in local community activities and events with our neighbors. Despite what you may have heard from the media, Florida Militia does not grant membership to anyone with a criminal background. Yep, they're out. Racist, bullies, or anyone who would spread hate or call for violent acts against other Americans or immigrants, members of another race, religion, or political. So they're all concerned. So they've been infiltrated. Yeah, as soon as they start talking about racism and everything, they're already. Yeah.
Well, that's a private militia. I'm sure that the State Militia Act doesn't say anything about that. That's a private militia.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a Go Green Zionist group.
Yeah, so I mean,
we're
talking about duly constituted state militias under state militia laws, and that sounds like private militia. They got a right to set up their own rules. If that's the rules they want to set up, so be it. But you can't say it's a state militia that is constituted under the state militia laws.
Because the state militia would be armed just like the U.S. military or the National Guard.
Pretty much.
Well, here it is right here, guys, at the bottom. It says how to join.
And I can
how to join.
Can,
five steps
see,
to join. You got, you know, it says read the welcome packet,
not,
you know. Go ahead, Nick. Go ahead.
I was just going to say I can see that these guys are not do not have jets and tanks and those kind of things.
I know that.
It's I chuckle, but you know it's really not funny. And
it's not,
you know, Governor Abbott destroyed the Governor Abbott destroyed the Texas economy with his lockdowns and face mask and all that crap. That was 2020 and 2021. Did stupid Texians remember that when he ran again for a third term in November of last year?
Yeah.
Well,
it's good that they have a group.
No.
You know, it's
no,
good that they have a group.
So I'm going to – when I run for governor, I'm going to remind people who is the governor for the New World Order and who is the governor who wants to give power back to Texas.
Yeah, well, I mean, but it's good, though, that they do have, you know, there's nothing wrong with having these groups around the country that, you know, want to stick to the core foundations of what, you know, or create their own private, you know, training group to be prepared for situations or disasters. You know, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, there's nothing wrong with that. But when the shit hits the fan, they are going to be meat for the grinder. I'm not interested in suicide by cop.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah. Well, now, hang on a second now. Hang on, Nick. If the society was to break down, you know, I mean, obviously there's going to have to be groups that are going to have to stick together and formulate around the country to even have a hope to generating and getting back freedom one day, you know. I mean, so, you know, we can't stand alone. So having 40, 50 of your neighbors together and form a compound or a neighborhood that's, you know, self-sufficient or operating together in collusion with each other to you know, stick to the ideals to have a country again. There's nothing wrong with that. That's how the, you know, that's what we're going to have to do anyway. You know, if we don't get what we're talking about here, state militias and restore our republic and blah blah blah. You know, I mean, so we're gonna, that's, you know, you're talking ground zero here, starting from scratch again. So we're going to have to do it in groups like this. You know, if society was to break down. But, you know, fully, and we lose our country. I mean, you know.
Joe, you don't need a militia act for that. That's just something you just
No, I'm not talking about an act.
Survive.
I'm talking about groups of people coming together and, you know, in your neighborhood, sticking together, you know.
Yeah,
nothing wrong
with
that.
You don't need any state militia act to do that.
No. There'll be no acts. There'll be no laws.
Right.
There'll be no country anymore. Yes, exactly. That's
right. Is as natural as looking for food.
Yeah. So that we have, that's how we know. So anyway, general conversation. Everybody want to chip in? Because we'll start getting ready to wrap it up here soon. Anybody want to chip in, talk, bring up anything, closing thoughts? Anybody got any ideas? Anybody want to talk, make some comments? Now's the time to do it. Press 1, and because we are in overtime, so anything goes. So you can say whatever you want. Just don't act like a jackass. You know, so just press 1 and say your piece, man. You know, we got a bunch of people on the phone lines, which is listening is okay. That's all you want to do. I don't unmute people unless they press 1, you know. So I don't like doing that because some people just want to listen, you know.
Society breakdown?
I smoke a lot of weed. Records are down higher than me. That's what he says. Okay, well, I don't smoke weed. I don't do drugs. And, you know, you know, that's what you want to do. That's fine.
Don't bring that stuff around me.
What's that?
I mentioned that I have a Telegram account at the Militia Guy. I'm also known as the Hemp Guy because I will restore, I will replace oil and with hemp as the new cash crop. Because hemp was legal until the oil barons and the paper barons, Hearst, Rockefeller, those types, got the traitors in Congress to criminalize hemp.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
They wanted a monopoly.
Yep,
but hemp
yep.
is there's a, yep. there's a movie there's a movie about hemp called The God Plant, and I believe it's true. God provided that plant. It's got so many uses. And
Sure. 407, I'm going to connect a new caller here. 407, go ahead. What's on your mind, 407?
Hey, Joe. This is American Statesman.
Hey, how are you? How you doing? I was wondering when you were going to chip in there.
I keep putting it out there in the chat room. It's the Florida State Guard, and they have financed it and all this. I put some other info out there. So Florida has done a little bit of that. I won't say they've done enough, but they've done a little bit of it. So anyway, that was that. Last night's show, I had to move it over to Wednesday because I was having technical difficulties, internet problems.
Really?
So... Okay. Yeah, but nothing. This time it wasn't Blog Talk Radio messing things up. It was other technology in the area, outages throughout this area. So anyway, but hopefully people will tune in on Wednesday, a special night to get caught up. And this is where we're going to talk about our compromised Congress. I'm telling you, if you haven't heard or seen anything about the blood money and the other stuff with China and red-handed. We have been so taken over by China right now. Most people just don't even know. And with all these MAMs, military-age men coming in, China is just scattered across this country. they're obviously bringing in the fentanyl. They were talking about the way they do it through Mexico. And then just anybody that buys Smithfield Foods out there, just remember that's owned by the Chinese. The Chinese Communist Party owns that. China owns so much of this country. It's not going to take much for them to take us all down. Especially, and I really do have a lot of concerns of what will happen. Either way, if Biden / Obama, whoever, ends up being continuing in there, the degradation is going to continue on as we're doing now. And if Trump gets in there, there's no telling what these other maniacs are going to do and how they may just say, okay, China, go at it. It's your turn. It's just really disgusting. Our country's truly been taken over already, and the only reason we're still standing at all, as I believe, is that Second Amendment. They know they are facing an armed citizenry, which they didn't face in some other countries that they've taken over. And the other people have to get engaged on the stupid WHO, the World Health Organization. They are surrendering our health rights to a don't want to call it the New World Order, but World Health Organization surrendering our rights. They don't really have the right to do it, and they're not calling it a treaty. That's the other game. They're making it an agreement with the WHO, not a treaty. If it was a treaty, Congress would have to approve it. So we're in all sorts of trouble. People just better wake up and smell the coffee. And I really just don't know what's going to happen either way with this next presidential election. And you said you're confident we still got one more election after this. I'm not that confident just because we have a lot of moons out there. And not when you see these China is flying their stuff over, their balloons over us. They're monitoring us. They're next to the bases. They're buying up the land. They're bringing in their military. Their military is coming in from the north and from the south. They're doing all the fentanyl that they could kill this whole country. And then, of course, like I said, they have their hands on our food supply. How much more does it really take for China to take over this country?
I don't think it's just China, though.
God bless America.
I think it's the New World Order. I think it's the entire New World Order itself. I think it's the global elite itself. I don't think it's just China. You know, I think they're all in collusion with each other to destroy the last free place on Earth, which is the United States, you know?
Well,
the evil.
But
it's
the
evil.
Only one thing is, the one thing I would comment, and because I've heard that too, I don't ever believe China is going to follow what the United Nations does. The New World Order mentality and the Great Reset kind of stuff is for the United Nations to truly be the central government, pretty much.
Yeah.
But neither Russia or China are ever going to do that. But they will piggyback and they'll play the game with them so they can take down countries. And everybody knows, you know, if America falls, what's going to happen to what's ever left of the rest of the free world. So it's so critical that we save this country. And I'm telling you, I listed the segment on the show page for American Statesman, and I did it last weekend this week. If you have not watched Ron Johnson's Roundtable, What Are They Hiding? This is about COVID. What are they hiding? You really need to listen to it because it gives you some of the very detailed facts that our own government has been taken over and is working against us. Our own government is trying to kill us. So we think, and it sounds so weird and perverted, but their own selfish interests outweigh anything else. And Peter Schweizer was out there saying how many of these people in office today have some tie to China, CCP, how much they get money from them. I mean, Biden's obviously the ringleader of it all. He's probably got more than anybody else. But Mitch McConnell, look what he's got. I mean, it's a sad state of affairs of what has happened to this country. And the sad part is the media. The media is truly one of the biggest enemies we have. If we had an honest
They're
media.
Evil. They're evil.
Yeah, it is. It truly is. So, say a prayer. Try to tune in. But there was Brett Weinstein, I think is his name. Brett Weinstein. He was one of the last speakers in the roundtable. And he was just saying, you need to put we need, including, he said, I have to put some of my ideologies aside because we have got to save this country now or it's over. And if you listen to the facts that they put out there, how we have been poisoned by our own country. And then the other one was David E. Martin, where he talks about how long this has been going on, how many decades they have been working on this kind of stuff.
There's absolutely
nothing new. This is a bioweapon.
No? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's insane.
So.
How long it's been going on. Why so complacent? all of us. Why? What happened to the spirit, the fire, the fight? You know, we'll kill each other because you pass, because you blow off a stop sign. But yet a police officer pulls you over, you piss on yourself. You know, come on, man. You know?
Well, it's kind of interesting you mentioned that because there were, I think it was two of the guest doctors or speakers at this roundtable. One of them went very much into the brainwashing and the psychobabble of how they manipulate people, how people want to believe that they want to be part of the group kind of thing, which most of us know that kind of stuff, but how that they have managed to manipulate language and brainwashing and get people afraid. They've got to have people being afraid,
yeah.
And that's what everything
yep.
to do with this. It's just you got to truly listen to some of the people you've heard talk before. The other was Risch. What's his name? Dr. Risch. He was out there talking about how this really was a military cover-up. Because this was actually this whole thing with this vaccine, how they, how they truly initiated it years ago, how they want all the money, the military, the different companies, obviously Pfizer and company and the pharmaceuticals,
yeah.
their money, that the free money they get to create this stuff, then all of a sudden if they didn't prove that it really did something, they were going to lose all their funding. You got to then he goes through
really?
It, and if anybody's listened to this guy. He is about as level-headed and calm. I mean, you don't think he's some kind of a conspiracy loon or anything else. And he said how he has changed his opinion based on what he has seen. And now we really need to realize how much of this, the evilness of keeping covering themselves, CYA, what they were doing with all this money. We've given you how many billions and whatever else, and you have nothing to show for it. And then they were going to show that it really worked. And that, it's all too bizarre. And people,
I call CIA AIC, Alternative to Incarceration.
Yeah. That's right. But I'm just telling you, you have a new awakening if you listen to both of those two shows, the round table, plus what David Martin has gone through with the history, the timelines. And those links are on my show page if anybody wants to see this. You listen to this and you look and see what's happened. And then you say, what the heck is going to happen? This is why they got to stop Trump. Trump isn't going to keep going along with that stuff. There was one doctor, and I'll wrap this up here because I'm taking up too much time. This one doctor, I can't remember his name, was just on today saying Trump has to come clean on the COVID vaccine. He's still out there, I guess. Apparently he must have just recently said something for anybody to take that vaccine. And taking that vaccine is a death wish. There is absolutely, based on everything we have seen since then, how many millions have been killed, how many millions have been paralyzed and harmed and everything else. And Trump, this guy said, I love Trump, but I will not vote for him if he says that again. I will not vote if he continues to promote this mRNA stuff like it was good. He made a mistake. We understand why he did. He's not a doctor. He was given bad advice. He needs to come clean. He knew the hydroxychloroquine worked, but he was silenced. Why was he silenced? Because they had to use the emergency use authorization, and they couldn't do that if they had a known treatment. So you talk about a government that truly went against the people of their own country plus the world, and it's just Trump better clean up his act too. So it's just – but anyway, I'll leave it there for now. Thank you for letting me talk for a few minutes. And please, America, wake up. Go learn some info on that.
I have a question for the American statesman.
Go ahead. Joe, I've got a question for you.
Trump.
Yeah.
Do you believe Trump will come clean on his support for the terrorist state of Israel?
That part, I don't know. I have not truly... He's obviously supported Israel in many ways, moving the embassy and all that kind of stuff. So right now, I don't have any. To me, I think he stands on the right side of Israel. From what but I'll admit, I'm not the most educated or versed on that one. I spent a lot of time studying what's happened with this COVID nonsense. But I would, when it comes to his compared to what Biden's doing or whatever else. I mean, Biden's is an idiot for just about everything he does. But I don't see Trump as being a negative to Israel, if that's what you're saying. I don't see that. Is that what you're suggesting? Maybe I'm missing the question.
I consider the state of Israel to be a terrorist state. In fact, the number one terrorist state on the planet. Yeah. And his support his support of Israel is anathema to Christ the King. He also supports the Sodomites.
Okay. I would say this.
What else does he support that is... Go ahead.
I would say this, Nick. Okay. Nick, if you're president of the United States Corporation, if you're president, right, and you're just trying to stand up and do what you think is right, you can't alienate. I mean, you got to remember. I understand what you're saying, and I agree with you, Nick. But at the same time, you can't just, you know, Israel has a we're allies with them at the same time, and we're allies with Brazil, we're allies with Australia. You know, there's this foreign policy involved here. You know what I mean? So what do you do? You know, how do you combat that? You know what I mean?
Okay, Joseph.
Well,
Joseph.
Let me ask one quick question too.
If you swear an oath to God to support and defend the Constitution, how is our foreign policy constitutional? So, as President of the United States, as Commander-in-Chief of supposedly the most powerful military in the world, why do we have to be allies with a terrorist state?
Well, we have nuclear weapons, and there's a responsibility with that. You know, and Russia has nuclear weapons, and France has capability to launch a nuclear. You know, so you got to remember, there's a huge global scale here of you know what I mean, and we got to be careful. You know, we don't want to launch to plunge the world into World War III, right? So because if we're Christians and we believe in God, you know, I mean, and believe in the Lord Jesus, whatever, what have you. So I'm not sticking up for Trump. What I'm saying is that there's decisions that have to be made. You just can't get on the microphone and say, you're a terrorist, we don't support you, this and that. You know, I understand the oath of the Constitution, but we're in a big mess right here. We just can't come out and do certain things right away. You know what I mean? We have to do things the right way in a motion, you know, in a systematic way. Go ahead.
Can I add one thing?
Yeah, go ahead, Gunslinger.
One thing is certain, and it is factual, and it is irrefutable. I didn't see God on the ballot. Did you? 2016, 2020, don't even see it this time. Now, would you rather have? Yeah, I didn't see God on the ballot. Okay.
No. They all think they're gods.
Would you rather have Comrade Clinton, okay, in there? My God, this country would be finished.
Of course not.
Okay.
Of course not.
Would you rather have another Joe Biden in there? This country will be finished. Okay. It's going down the shithole right now. So the most logistical decision, using reason, logic, and common sense, is supporting the Trump. Okay. Yeah, he's got his, you know, things. I don't like what the guy did. Okay. There's lots of things. Okay. But at this point in the game,
so you're, you
really don't have no choice. What other choice do you got? Joe Biden?
I'm not sure.
Sally's got a question. Hang on. I cut her off. Go ahead, Sally. Yeah.
Okay. Well, first off, I'm not sure.
Let me just respond to the 214.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
I have a quick response to 214. So you are one of those lesser of two evils supporters?
At this point in time, when there's nobody else to pick from, okay, because it's already too late in the game now, logic dictates. I'm a retired master electrician, electrical engineer. I deal with logic all the time, 20 years in the field. So you got to look at the two. You got to look at, well, this one did this one did this. Now, which is a better choice? 4 years of Trump, everything was fantastic. Okay? The gas prices were down. The supply chains were great. The law enforcement loved him. Military loved him. We were the most respected country in the entire world. Now we're the most hated and we're the most laughed at. Tell me what happened.
I only asked because we've been voting for the lesser of two evils for about 40 years.
That's true.
And where we are today. So God is not going to favor, God is not going to look down on a nation that supports his enemy, the terrorist state of Israel.
Well, again, I'll kind of chime in quickly here. First off, God was not on the ballot anywhere, even though I think 99% of these people elected to public office think they are God by the way they treat us. So, but yeah, God's definitely not there. I'm very much sick of the lesser of two evils. I don't vote for that. I don't see Trump as evil. Now, when it comes to Israel, I don't see Israel as evil either. Now, it depends on what you think about Palestine and all that other. It's such a crazy, crazy part of the world, if you will, and everything else. But if you think that other Hamas and others have the right to go kill Israel, then that's what you think, I guess. I don't see how that would be right either. So there's a lot more into this discussion, and I don't claim to be any expert on the Middle East or any of the nonsense that goes on anywhere near Israel and the other stuff. But right now our own country's being taken over by the same insanity. So the chaos that's there in Israel and any place else around this crazy world is all coming here. We think that this is going to be some peaceful. That peace is going to stay on this homeland. I don't see that a bit, not when we see all these Chinese troops coming in here. So I think people better be thinking that we're going to be – growing up, I remember seeing all these different sites of the wars in the Middle East and all this other stuff. Well, that's what this homeland is going to look like probably in the near future because we have evil people.
Well, it is. You're right. It will.
Our own
it will, Sally.
Is taking
it will. So, but hang on, Sally. I think what Nick's trying to get at here is that God's not going to bless America, and we're not going to get ahead and be blessed if we don't do things the right, start doing things the right way.
Yeah.
And if we support evil, you know, we're not going to get anywhere. You know, I mean, we're going to be cursed. Well, I mean, we killed 60 million children through abortion. You think God's blessing us for that? You know, I mean, it goes on and on and on. So, you know, so I think that's what he was trying to get at.
Well, yeah, and I'm getting mixed signals in reference to the Israel role, but that's why I said I don't think Trump is evil. Now, and we have the fact we've taken steps to change the abortion situation and things like that, I think shows that we have changed, that we are redirecting our energies towards God versus the evildoers out there. So I'm hoping the come to Jesus routine has happened fast enough and that most people follow. But when you talk about why we're here, you got to go back to education, the brainwashing and the totally twisting of minds. And what happened? And even today, parents hand over their kids to a public entity to raise their own kids. There's something seriously wrong there, too, because now, you know, they got to have two incomes and whatever else. And I've always been disgusted by people who outsource parenting. And now we have a government taking away parenting rights. That's how bad it's gotten because the people allowed their kids to be taken over by the government, become wards of the state just about, and they've been totally brainwashed and corrupted. So what can you think? This is what these kids have been brainwashed into believing. So the last couple of generations, what do you want to call it? So, of course, they hate America.
About three, four generations. As governor of Texas, I would abolish government schools.
I tell everybody with young kids, whatever, pull your kids out of public schools. Anybody you know, tell them, pull your kids out of public schools. Don't leave them there. You can homeschool them better. You can get with other people in the neighborhood who are doing homeschooling. Get your kids out of there and make sure you actually read history. I did this years ago. I don't watch football and any of that crap anymore. But I remember people would spend thousands and thousands of dollars and hours and hours and hours watching a stupid football game or baseball, whatever it may be. And I just for every hour you spend with your kid at Little League for football or baseball and watching the football games, watching the Super Bowl, how many hours did you spend talking to them about your country, your Constitution, and knowing what this country's all about?
Yeah.
None. Like, so what do you expect? What do you expect the culture to become?
Yep. We could fill up a stadium, 60,000 people every Sunday. Stadiums all across the country, but you can't get 20 Patriots to meet at McDonald's for a cup of coffee. You know? I mean, you know, it's just crazy. It's sick.
It's sick.
You know?
It's what was it about with Rome? They had to get them drunk and in the Colosseum. Rome burned while everybody was at the Coliseum playing and getting drunk and whatever else, and they totally destroyed. And it's really very similar to what's happening today. Go get drunk and be happy. Don't worry, we'll take care of everything. No, you don't own your house anymore, but don't worry about it. We'll take care of everything. That's what we've allowed because we've been bringing.
And the next question, I think, Nick, we want to get back to the foundations of what this country was built upon and believed. Remember, George Washington said, friends with all, alliances with none,
Yes.
So, we shouldn't be – our foreign policy should not be, aligned like that. But it is right now. So that's why I was just trying to pick an argument with Nick there. Our foreign policy is very complicated right now, and we have a responsibility to humanity and God, like he said. And we have to be careful because we have 1,500 nuclear weapons pointed at one country or a bunch of countries right now. So, we have to be careful if you're elected – hypothetically, if I was elected president. I just can't be – I have to be careful. There's responsibilities that come with that. Whether, I'm right or wrong on an issue, we have to phase ourselves out of this mess that we're in. Just can't, it's not that cut and dry where, like I say, you're a terrorist country. That's it. I'm done with you. Turn my back, and now they're my enemy. And they're pointing a gun at my back of my head. You got to be careful, That's all I'm saying. There's diplomacy. There's diplomatic things that have to be conducted and ways to go about it. You can't be a bully in a schoolyard and just start a fight. You got to be careful. Otherwise, you got a little schoolyard kicking your ass. You got to be careful, So that's all I'm saying. That's what I meant.
Hey, Joe, I'd like to submit something else for your consideration, too. And that's this.
Sure.
Look, I don't think Israel is evil. I think they are a nation with their own interests, just like every other nation. They may or may not align with the interests of the United States. And I think right now Israel probably thinks it's in the best interest of Israel for the United States to intervene militarily and assist them. I don't think that's in the best interest of the United States. So here's the way I look at this. There's a war going on right now in that part of the world. The Israelis view it probably as an existential threat. That means they are determined to do what they have to bring it through to a successful resolution for their side, rightly or wrongly. Now, if that happens, and other nations, and the longer this goes on, this is my point. This is why I'm getting to my point. The longer this goes on, the more likely it is that Yemen, Syria, and or Iran will intervene against the Israelis. If that happens, and it is a possibility, that means given our defense agreements with Israel, we are likely to have our troops on the ground helping them out. I don't want to see that. I don't know about you. I don't want that. I don't
want
to get involved in no ground war in Israel or in the Middle East.
Yeah.
So here's what I say. Here's what I say. Given the fact that I think it's beyond any dispute, they were attacked and they had hundreds of their people killed on that day, however many you think it is, I say let them get this damn thing over with quickly so we are a lot likely to get involved. We don't have to give them any more money. We don't have to give them any troops. We don't have to just get out of their way, let them do what they have to defeat their enemy so we don't get involved in it. I don't want American troops involved in that mess over there in the Middle East. And besides, 1 million Arabs have been killed since 2001 in all these wars in the Middle East, many of which didn't have anything to do with the United States. 1 million. They get all agitated because some terrorists are getting killed in Gaza. Yeah, the civilians get killed too, but I would like you to name one urban fight in the history of mankind with modern weapons where that's not the case. Hell, the United States did it in the Battle of Manila in 1945, and we liked the Filipinos. We had a very good relationship with them. They liked us. They loved MacArthur. MacArthur tried to minimize the damage he did. He wouldn't even allow any artillery batteries over 105 millimeter to shoot to blow there. But the Japanese were dug in. They were fanatical. They were not going to surrender. So he eventually had to rescind all that stuff and say, hey, root them out by whatever means you have to. There ain't no fighting in the world worse than fighting in an urban environment in a built-up area against a fanatical, determined enemy that's dug in. It's the worst kind of fighting you can possibly do. You better believe that.
We might have it in the future.
I don't
want to
get involved in it.
Hopefully we don't have it in the streets of America soon,
Well, then if we got to deal with it here, let it be. But let's not get involved in anybody else's fight if there's any way we can avoid it. Let them win their fight so we don't get involved. Yemen and Iran is likely to come in on the side
Hamas and Hezbollah if they are getting beaten badly. And that means we're going to get involved. Do you want that? I don't. Hamas has no chance of defeating Israel. They're not going to do it unless they got a nuclear bomb.
No, I agree. I agree. I agree with you on that. Yeah. Anybody else want to jump in here? Closing thoughts? Anybody? Anybody got something they want to add here? Long show here today, so it was a good one, though. A lot of callers on the line. Somebody, who's that? Who's me? Who?
Yeah, I just one last quick thing in reference to China. Yeah, well, I was talking about obviously how China has total control of this. One other thing, people, thank God I don't have to take any prescription meds, but China produces just about all the prescription meds. So if anybody thinks that China couldn't take this country down in a matter of days, is probably fooling themselves. And, you know, so just. Seriously, and I mean, I read about that years ago, I don't know, probably eight or 10 years ago, when they said, why have we outsourced everything to China? It's
why?
Really amazing.
Yeah, why?
Ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance is not bliss. So,
asinine.
Anyway.
It's it was all part of the global agenda.
Yep.
Yeah.
Nixon opened the gates, right, to China.
Sure did.
It's all part of the New World Order agenda.
And gave up the gold standard.
I was going to mention the fact that a standing army in the U.S. is unconstitutional. And if state militias were restored, they could refuse a call-up by the commander-in-chief to join an unconstitutional or an unjust war.
Really? I didn't know that. Huh. Interesting. Okay. Anybody else? Closing thoughts? Anybody?
We haven't had a constitutional war since World War II, right?
I would think, was that constitutional? Did he declare war? He declared, he asked Congress,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. No, yeah. It all happened to declare war on the United States on December 11th. What else? What are the United States going to do? Ignore it? Are you kidding?
Okay. Was Korea constitutional?
No.
Korea was not declared war. In fact, Harry Truman went out of his way to say we're not fighting a war. He called it a police action. And the kind of soldiers on the sea said, what the hell's my badge if we're fighting a police action? We're fighting the enemy with tanks and heavy artillery. What are you talking about, a police action?
Yep. Okay. I didn't
In
know.
In fact,
I didn't
I've
know.
Heard. I've heard evidence that the Korean War is still actually going on.
It is.
That's right.
It is. It's an armistice.
Yep.
That's all.
Yep. You're right.
Ceasefire.
So all of this, truth would come out in a Landholt for governor campaign.
Okay. All right. Gunslinger, anything? Anybody else? Closing thoughts? I want to make sure everybody gets in there. Got anything you want to add, comments?
Well, just a quick comment. I mean, you know, if the founding fathers could see what's going on right now, they'd turn over in their grave. Probably are.
Oh, Lord.
Okay.
They'd be back in the boat. And heading back to England.
they would literally be, I mean, it'd just be just flabbergasted, okay? What did the founding fathers do back then when the British was confronting them? They probably tried to negotiate. I'm sure they did, okay? And they tried it probably more than once. But these British were such cocksuckers that they decided that, well, you're going to do what we say, or it's our way or the highway. Well, what'd they do? Draw a line in the sand and say, cross it. They did. Look what happened. That thing that comes out of the end of a barrel. Unfortunately.
Like I said,
closing arguments now is God, guns, and guts made this country. It's going to have to be to save this country. Go ahead.
You're right, Gunslinger. The Continental Congress sent a olive branch petition to the king in an attempt to prevent war with the crown. And King George treated it with contempt and said, you will submit to my divine right as a king. And the colonel said, oh, well, that's it. But they tried. They did send an olive, they called it the olive branch petition, in which they were trying to do everything they could, remain loyal subjects, but yet and still have their complaint satisfied. But King George wasn't happy.
Yeah, you're right. Well, you know, I just want to say tonight, I want to say, first of all, thanks, Nick, for coming on to the podcast. You know, hopefully, real quick, give a shout-out about your podcast, Nick, or your show. You do a radio show, too, that's not on Blog Talk, but another network, or you do something. Can you want to give a shout-out about that real quick?
Yeah, I do a weekly two-hour call-in show called Christian Revolt, Long Overdue. It is on the Liberty Works Radio Network. You can go to lwrn.net to tune in or download the app on your iPhone if you want to, or Android to call in if you want. And I've been doing it for 7 years. And basically the title of the show is what it's all about. I mean, I do educate, but we offer the solution, which is state militia. And, you know, it's time for Christians to, you know, we're mad as hell and we're not going to take it anymore. So let's prove it.
Yeah. Amen.
Well, you can't. Yeah, you're absolutely right on that, Nick. I mean, we're all frustrated. That's obvious. We could tell we're all frustrated at the way our country has turned out and where it's going. I mean, obviously, or we wouldn't be here talking with each other about this. We wouldn't be debating and arguing and you know, we wouldn't. So anyway, I just want to say thanks to everybody that was listening. Next Tuesday, make sure you check out American Statesman on Wednesday. She's doing a special night, special show because she wasn't on Monday. And, of course, tune into all the other podcasts out there. Donnie C, he does his good, great show. Of course, Lori Ann's and, of course, Conservative Nation on Friday nights. Everybody, God bless the Republic. Take care. We'll close out right here with a little George Washington.
When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, a decent respect requires that they declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and among these, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. To secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. And whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to establish new government. We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America, do and with the authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are, and of right ought to be, free and independent states, that they are absolved of all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved. In the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor.
God bless our republic.
God save the republic. Our fathers appealed to heaven. What did heaven do? Heaven heard. Heaven heard. Our fathers said they would treat all men equal. When they did not, heaven saw. Heaven saw. Our fathers fought each other and paid a great price. Father Abe kept the Union, but not the Republic. We forgot the Republic and placed our trust in man and suffer oppression. We appealed to heaven. What did heaven do? Heaven heard. Heaven heard. God save the Republic.
Let me make this an absolute fact. The goal is world peace. That must be our prime responsibility. We are the leader of the free world, whether we want to be or not. And therefore, we are the only ones that can preserve the peace. And to do that, we must...